Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, Monday morning, six something. Welcome. It's Boomer here in the iconic downtown studios. Powered by Iconic Electric and Controls, making lives easier and better. It's what they do. It's what we do. It's the oath we took in Radio 101.
Right.
What do we do? Radio! And why do we do it? To make lives easier and better! That's what I think of every morning when the alarm goes off at 3-something.
It's definitely not only 5 more days of this till the weekend.
No.
Never that.
I may be very tired, but I'm ready to go and make some lives easier and better. I don't know how the hell we make them easier, but if we can just make your life a little bit better, then that makes my life better. You know what I mean? It's a self thing.
Pardon me?
Well, the circle will be unbroken.
It's the circle of life. That's right. Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata. What movie is that?
Come on now.
Lion King?
You're asking that? Yeah.
Is it?
100%.
Well, it didn't seem right for a moment.
All right. No, fair enough.
Yeah, because they were with the kid there, the little kid, the cat, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Neo, was it?
Neo. No. Neil? No.
Neil? Neil deGrasse Lion?
Neil the Lion. Watch out for your Uncle Scar, Neil.
Yeah, Scar's a...
He's a Richard.
He is a complete Richard. What was that guy's problem? Get over yourself!
Hanging with the hyenas, all jealous of his brother. Come on, Scar.
That guy's a
better
dick.
Than that.
Right?
Yeah, total.
Why does... Like, every one of those movies has to have a complete jerk in it.
Hard Richard in every one of them.
Like, why?
Not sure.
Somebody's mom or dad has to die at the start of it. Yeah. And then you got to have, as if that isn't enough, somebody, you got to have some sort of Richard, some sort of a-hole in the mix. And somebody else just trying to, you know, do the right thing. Grow up or be a good person. Disney, figure it out. You're killing us over here. You're killing me.
Just trying to make everyone's day easier and better. Come on now, Disney.
Easier and better. My eyes are awfully itchy.
This is a thing you've been talking about for around a decade, because I think I've worked with you for about 8 years, and I always wondered about, you'd say your eyes get hot, and I'm like, no one's eyes get hot. There's something going on here.
They're a bit warm. They're warmish.
This year, finally, you've been seeing a laser beam specialist to fix the eye warmth, etc.
Beam me up, Neo.
Yeah, and here we are. I don't know. It's not between your ears, Dean.
My eyes will just water. Like, I was driving to work this morning, and if you didn't know better, you'd be like, "Are you crying? You crying?" But just tears, no good.
Had nothing to do with yesterday.
No. Why would it have anything to do with yesterday?
With a solstice? It's emotional.
Is it?
I got duped yesterday. Big time.
You got duped?
By the sun.
Yeah?
We just, you know, put the kids to bed, hanging around, cleaning in the kitchen, putting this away, putting that away.
Yeah?
And I'm like, well, I don't have any coffee. I got to get some coffee. Okay, no sweat. I'm good to go buy some beans. No big deal. Closed. Convenience store coffee. Looks like it's 8 p.m. out there. It's after 10.
Really?
Super bright. I'm like, what is going on here? I got windows rolled down playing music. I'm like, the streets are empty. What's happening? It's 10 o'clock on a Sunday, you loser. That's what's happening.
Yeah, it could be it, right? Yeah. I'm down for it. I mean, I'm happy.
Oh, it's good, yeah. I just got duped, that's all.
You know, you want to know how out of sorts I was this morning? I drove past my coffee stop.
Really?
for the first time, literally, like, I can't even tell you the last time that I got to work and forgot to get a coffee, stop for coffee or whatever. Never. It never happens.
Autopilot should take you to coffee, not to work.
Oh, my God.
Coffee helps you get to work.
I don't understand it. I don't understand how people don't drink coffee in the morning, Riley. You freak. You
is
animal.
Is he hammering energy drinks like some of the other folks around this building or no?
Although, I would say, based on our 5:30, maybe he could use a little bit of caffeine. Could use a bit of a kickstarter.
Well, a tough day yesterday.
Because I suggested maybe he could be narrating books.
Narrating books?
Because I asked him, you know, Riley, hey, we're doing a radio show. How are we doing? Well, yeah. You know, going to have to go down to Vegas and get a win. It's not going to be easy, though. Going to have to really kind of dig in. I got to think about what I'm going to eat. You know, not really the kind of revved up emotion that you need for a morning show to get people up and out of bed, right?
Bit of a muted weekend for the young man then, apparently.
Was it a muted weekend, Riley? Did you see, I don't even know if he's there.
He's marking his weekend with Habs games. I'm not sure. Friday one,
he might
Sunday
completely
one.
Completely out of it.
Friday was certainly not muted.
Right.
I broke all my rules on Friday and went to a place to watch the game with my friends.
Because he doesn't watch with people, right? When the games matter?
He hasn't. He hasn't at all. And coming... Wow.
I know.
I had a poutine at the bar.
Wow.
Yeah. Worked out for me. We were downstairs for the first two periods waiting to get upstairs onto a rooftop patio in the city. And then about halfway through the third, they moved us up. Despite me begging my friends to just wait till the end of the game.
So-called
I watched
friends.
The half of a third period and overtime on a cell phone propped up on the table because there was no TV access where we were sitting. It was just stressing me out very much, but it all worked out in the end.
What kind of friends do you have?
Not good.
Oh, you got to love Sportsnet now, Dean. What a move. Just pull out your phone, hey?
Like, who are you hanging with? That in third round of the playoffs, you as a Habs fan, hey, man, let's go out and let's go to a place that's not got the game on.
Well, what's yeah,
get rid of these.
On,
get these people out of your life.
Meet up with them after the game.
Only has 2-3 TVs, and our table was not facing one.
And why are you at, like, rooftop? That's day drinking stuff, isn't it? Rooftop patios? You don't need to be on a rooftop at 8 at night.
It was nice.
It's fine. You need to make better choices, Riley.
Beverages deep at Beverite. That point. My car had a sleepover downtown.
Did it?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Cars like that.
They do. And yeah. I like worrying about it being downtown all night, too. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, when you're driving a McLaren, you know.
Leaving the windows down, that was silly.
Was silly.
Yeah. I should have just slept in it.
When you're driving a Lamborghini.
Don't worry, someone else did.
Yeah. So then last night you were more dialed in, right?
Yeah.
And they lost. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw something out there and it's.
Hang on. Careful.
I'm going to throw something out there.
Here.
No, I'm just going to say. I'm thinking that maybe what you eat and where you watch it has no bearing as to whether the Habs win or lose. I'm just going to throw it out there.
I disagree.
You know what you need to try now for game whatever it is, 5?
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch it.
Oh, that is so mean.
Throw up.
Don't watch it.
I know why they lost yesterday.
That is so mean.
You know what we'll do? I'll call you with updates. You go out and swing a slow pitch bat or something. Get on the website there and hook yourself up. Get on some teams with some other people that you don't know in Airdrie. And I'll send you some texts.
Well, here's the thing. I have my first football game at 8:30 on Tuesday.
Pardon me.
Okay, what? What are you talking about now? Football?
Yeah.
Are you still young enough to play for the Colts here?
No.
What are we talking about?
Flag football. Much safer.
Right.
Some people treat it the exact same.
That's interesting. See, because I take a look at you, and I wouldn't think that you're a big-time athlete, but you love it.
Yeah.
Do you play the ice? Because you do ball hockey. You do the football. You're big into baseball. Are you on the ice? Ice hockey?
I haven't in a while. I haven't found a team to join. But I like to sub as a goaltender every once in a while.
All right.
But no, I'm not on any official team here in Calgary.
But looking at your stature, my guess is this, Riley. Have you got quicks? Are you quick?
I would say so.
Quick feet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the key.
Can you scoot?
It's the key to my sporting life.
You can scoot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be able to.
Yeah.
Slowed down a little bit, I assume.
If his speed or his quicks or his... Is anything like his metabolism? He's a water bug.
Yeah. This will shock you. I was never very good at flag football.
No.
No.
Flag football's tough. Grabbing those flags.
I seem
is
to
a
be
battle.
Relatively easy to catch.
Hmm.
It's just, hey, if you're going to laugh, Riley, don't turn your mic off, all right?
Sorry.
If you're going to laugh at something, if I get a giggle. Because you're bad for that. Because I'll hear you laughing in the other room. I'm in here trying my best to have some, bring some jokes on the air, and you start to laugh, and then you turn your mic off. That's like going to if you go to a comedy club and then like stifling your laughter into your collar. Like you don't just do that to a guy.
Burying your laugh into a jacket.
Well, that's right. Like, come on now.
I turned my mic off to continue on the Pinder report here, but then you made me laugh right away.
Yeah. Well, I do that. So, again, if you could just let that breathe, because I'll sit here and wait till you're done laughing, which clearly you are, so then we can move on. Don't watch the game. That's the next move. They're in Vegas. They're probably going to lose anyway. So just don't watch it.
What do you mean they're going to lose anyway? How's going on, Dean?
You know, they're probably... You know, now Vegas is feeling good and they're going home and they're going to snot bubble them like 4-1, 5-1 or something. You may as well not even watch it. Go out and play some flag football. It's your first game of the year?
They're going to win another game.
What?
I don't think that the Golden Knights are going to win another game.
I thought some of the Habs.
However, I did, you know, after that sweep didn't work out, I did say Habs in 7, so they got to lose one more time.
Just copying me.
But I would prefer them to win on Tuesday. Thursday, I think I'm going to drink a lot of beers.
Do we have the breaking news bed? Just real quick here.
I don't know where.
Riley, do you got the
breaking news?
Breaking news from Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Dean is just coming in.
Yeah.
Riley, a Habs fan, would prefer if they win on Tuesday night.
Wow.
That's it. Fresh. Habs fans. Looking for their team to win the next game.
That's interesting. That I did not see that coming. I would have thought he'd be definitely rooting for Vegas to get on a bit of a roll, and good Lord willing, maybe even eliminate his favorite team.
Well, if we saw it coming, it would have been breaking news, Dean. It was really something.
Nope. Thank you for that, Ryan. Thanks for being on it.
Just here to help, you know.
So are you going to skip your first football game of the season to watch hockey?
No.
What is going on then?
So what are you
going
to do?
I'm going to watch as much as I can, bring my phone, go on the NHL.com app, and watch as much as possible before the game starts.
You're not going to go radio dark? Because that's hard to do if you're in a social setting.
Yeah.
I don't have cable, so it's tough for me to record a game.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the app, they'll play it live for you, that's for sure.
I can go back and rewatch, but maneuvering the app without seeing what happens seems like a tough task.
Well, I think it's clear what's important to you, Riley, and it's not the Montreal Canadiens.
Mm.
Well, you know, I've made a commitment to a football team and an organization for the past 3 years, and those are my guys, you know, we go to the trenches and live and die for those guys.
On game day for the football, do you have, like... a little meal habit or like a certain shoe you put on first?
No.
Number of snurs that you'll hammer
superstitious
before kickoff?
About
yeah, weird.
Rec sports.
And I'd think you'd have more influence in the outcome of those, I got to be honest.
Yeah, well, I just go out there and play my game, you know? I control what I can control. And I can control eating nasty poutines before games. Although the first
God, that's got to be the worst thing you can put in your body before a game.
Yeah, the first two were
brick
really
good. Bouncing around in there. Ugh.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat that before a football game, but, you know. I don't have to anymore because they lost, so I have to go back to the drawing board.
I had a poutine about a month ago, and it was so bad. It's gotten me.
Really?
It's turned me off poutine here for a bit. It's going to take a while before I rebound. I don't want to say it out loud.
What ho-hum joint did you go to?
It's one that had served me fairly well when it came to the poutine. I kind of enjoyed it, but it was. I'll tell you what. It was so salty, so salty.
It's going to be salty, but so salty.
Yeah, I'm down with sodium. Me and sodium, we've been together a long time.
The big ass and boom at it again. Partners in crime.
But it was maybe too much cheese, and it all melted. And it was because I heard you say the word brick, and that's what struck a chord with me. Is like it was basically you almost needed a knife to cut it because it had congealed so quickly and so much. So
that's not a good one.
No, it's not the way to do it.
Were you transporting it for half an hour?
Not that long.
You picking it up from High River and eating it at home? No. Like, what's going on?
No.
Not those good people. They wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't do that to you.
No, not them.
I had the popcorn chicken poutine last night on the recommendation of the text line. It was good.
It was good. And I'll be honest, I thought that your team played well.
Yeah.
I thought they were better in defeat yesterday than they were in victory 2 days earlier.
I thought so as well. You know, Carey just lets that one slide under his arm. No fault, you know. Love
you know,
Carey.
If only he could make more saves.
I know,
right?
I mean,
if there's one thing about the Montreal Canadiens that I think deserves more focus and credit, it's on their goaltender. If we could hear a little bit more about Carey Price.
Well, I mean, isn't it obvious the Vegas Golden Knights went to their backup and won? So clearly, it's Jake Allen tomorrow night, right?
Yeah,
clearly. Carey Price too tired, too fatigued,
exhausted.
Don't think there's going to be many Fleury's better chance in Las Vegas tomorrow, though. Tell you what, it happened in game one. Haven't heard it since.
A what?
There was a Fleury's better chant going on.
Yeah.
Which is just blasphemy. And haven't heard it much. I guess once your goalie gets pulled in place of Robin Lehner, then you can't make that chant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, I've not been dialed into all the intermissions, and you know I'm not wound up in this thing like Riley. I'm kind of waiting to see who's left standing here. But is there a chance to go back to Leonard for game five here? Has that been a conversation, or is it just like it's Pete DeBoer? We're not even going to guess, so it is what it is.
You know what? That'll be the discussion probably today, right?
Yeah.
Because I think what it was after last night was just
night.
He was. You know, let's take a break. We can talk about that coming up.
All right.
But I know we got to.
Oh, no, I'm watching Jason 30. Chatwood's coming in here. Is it time to throw something against the wall?
No, you're good.
Okay,
I would. I don't want to give it away. But,
talk on the other side of the break.
But oddly, a Chatwood appearance that you may not want to smash your head through a plate glass window at. So we'll see how that turns out. I'm going to go and drink some disgusting station coffee, I guess, because I'm an idiot.
Whiskey.
Adam Stanley coming up in the 7.
Whiskey.
I would love some whiskey. Do we have any whiskey?
Can anyone drop some whiskey off for Dean, please?
I would love some whiskey.
Whiskey.
It's a delicious, just a delicious drink. Adam Stanley coming up in the 7. Tommy Wheeldon Jr., who's getting on a plane. Is that right? He's going to Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Ready?
I think we're doing the security dance right around the time we're talking to him. So he wants to go 8:30 rather than 8:25. I said, yeah, you're all good, buddy.
Nice.
Come on whenever you want.
All right. Well, we'll do that at
the 9 because
we'll do that at 8:30 then. Because he asked for 8:30, we'll do that at 8:30. Getting drunk. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Our guest hotline is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Make it a great night. Choose from pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, or steaks and ribs.
Oh, yeah.
You can order through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. 6:33 on your, I'm going to call it a Monday. Ryan Pinder is there. I am here.
Oh, hey, Dean. How you doing?
You got, so you got befuddled with the with the summer solstice. The summer the
solstice got me last night. Busy weekend, lots going on, and it's just I don't know. I'm one to stay up anyway. Never mind if it's light out. Well, obviously I'm staying up.
Not ideal for this gig. You got to be able to sleep, dude.
Yeah, you should try to sleep, but Euro's making that very difficult.
Is it?
Yes. Not necessarily because of the tournament, but just because of all the drinking opportunities that present.
Oh, themselves. I was going to say.
Yeah, like Friday, exhausted, needed a nap. Can't. Got to meet up with a particularly large human and watch a really, really boring Scotland-England game.
It really was.
It was awful.
Yeah. I was
excited. I thought it'd be good.
I was thinking, man, I'm kind of jealous. I wish I was with those guys. And then I was like, no, I'm not actually. It was I'm just as well. And I was also wondering what you meant, because as far as I could tell, the Euro games, I wasn't sure with like the latest start being 1 p.m. why those would be keeping you up at night.
No, they're keeping me from my midday nap.
Right.
That's the issue.
Got it.
Although Friday transitioned nicely. Yeah.
Yeah. How was the Father's Day?
Father's Day was good. I got chairs. I got two blue chairs.
Yeah.
One's a little, put it in your backpack.
Uh-huh.
And the other is a monster that folds out and is huge. So depending on what I'm doing and how much weight I want to be carrying, I got options of chair.
That's good.
I got a designated chair. I got a pinch chair. I got all kinds of chairs. Yeah.
Pinch chair. You good?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Good day. And then went to play a little baseball down at Stanley Park with the boys. Had a good day. Got on our bikes. Got the tunes going.
Yeah.
Had a little bat poking out of the backpack, and off we went.
Sure.
Just a beautiful day. Golfed Saturday, Dean.
Yeah.
Canadaskas.
Is that your second trip already?
Okay. Yeah, the first one was 36, remember? The marathon there?
Yeah, I'm aware, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of a rhetorical thing. A rhetorical, I hate you
second
kind
trip.
Of a thing, yeah.
Yep, good.
Is that right, eh?
Still waiting on that RSVP for the tea time I asked you about 2 weeks ago, but I haven't heard back from
in
you.
2 days from now? The 23rd, you said, right? Is
that's
that what
correct.
It was?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, let me look. I notice it's not, that one's not at Kananaskis.
I mean, I just want you to get some sleep. I don't know that it's not centrally located. It's in the mountains.
Not the one on the 23rd, it's not.
Right.
It's like, oh, so the invite I get is to this one. I'll get back to you. It's still, I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know, need some time to think about it, right?
Yeah, I got some. Not so much that. I just see I got a kid. One kid needs a COVID shot or something.
Ooh, kid COVID shot. Well done.
Yeah. Well, when you're 16 and you're working
Wow.
One of his jobs is in kind of a pharmaceutical environment, so you kind of need to be on top of it. You got to get it in you. Got to get that up in you. Did you watch the end of that Blue Jay game? How'd Chatwood make out?
Boy, he's a little scary. Jay's in 30. Four pitches, walks first batter. I'm like, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
And then get some really soft contact, almost too soft, because it's essentially a swinging bunt, but makes the play to get him at first. And shucks, Dean, they hung on to win.
How are you feeling Friday? Because all I could think about was you with your big set of gums blathering about how you couldn't wait for the Jays to play the Baltimore Orioles so that they could finally have some soft spots and some easy games, much like you did with the Ottawa Senators, and that was the first game of the series was a 7-1 loss. All I could think about was you wearing 7-1 Baltimore after all you'd talked about with the Orioles.
Yeah, no, there's no gimmies for sure, especially in baseball, but it's just you look at who they had played, it was a lot of the White Sox, the Yankees, the Red Sox, like it was just, come on now, let's... And you're going to play them 10 times. You're not going to win 10. But if they could get 7, or Lord forbid even 8, that would be very, very good. But you definitely don't want to go 5-5 against them. And they're 2-1 to start. So here you go.
And it's funny that one yesterday, the Blue Jays win 7-4. They put up another run in the top of the ninth. But they had, a 6-1 lead going into the bottom.
Yeah, and then old high leverage Trent Thornton. I guess it wasn't that high leverage, but just it really, what's Trent doing?
Yeah, like it wasn't, and then
someone
it
gets
was.
A blister. That's how Trent Thornton gets into a game. It's not when like things are going as planned.
But even at 6-4, you're like, well, it's still a two-run cushion. So the bullpen didn't completely blow it, right? So that's all right. But it's like, well, what if they hadn't scored six runs? What if they had a 2-1 lead, and then all of a sudden it's
3-2? The cushion went away, didn't it?
Yeah. But old Rusty Atkins, he says, listen, there's nothing, just, hey.
He's trying, dude.
He's trying. Hey, guys.
It definitely is something that we're focused on.
Uh-huh.
You know, the opportunity to add to our bullpen, to complement our bullpen is what we're focused on right now, as you can see in the acquisition yesterday. And we'll continue working on that. And as it relates to urgency, we were thinking about that and working on it when our bullpen was pitching better.
They were working on it even before they started to absolutely stink.
Yep. Before they shirted the bed, they were already looking.
We were already looking, even when they weren't complete dog shirt.
Now, to be fair, when they lost Yates and then Chatwood in the first week. Excuse me, not Chatwood. Merriweather. It was like, yeah, that's go ahead and find some more of those. But just didn't implode until what? Mid-May?
And you know what? No excuses, but you know, they've had a tough schedule and they've been playing in not Toronto.
You know, we've played some good baseball. We've had a really tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We have been playing in not Toronto for the entire time. We have the youngest offensive team in baseball that has been extremely productive. We can be better defensively. In the run prevention area, we need to improve. So it's been tough, but I will say this. It's so easy to clean the slate each day because of the morale in our clubhouse, the energy and the confidence that they have, the positivity that they have. You can see the smiles on their faces every day and get back to work. And they've just continued to do that. They've continued to focus on getting better.
Big smiles.
Positivity that they have. You can see the smiles on their faces every day.
Ugh. Why can't I get, I just can't get with that guy. I have a hard time.
It's the corporate jingoism that's probably what's getting you.
No, hey, guys, listen. I mean, it's easy to clean the slate every day because everybody's just in such a great mood. And, you know, gosh, golly gee, guys.
Excited to explore for weeks now.
Yeah. As you can see by the trade we made yesterday, like, we know, right? We're getting it done. All right. But they did manage to reel off a couple wins.
They won the first series since the 1st and 2nd of June, so...
Off day today, right? They got Miami coming up?
Yes, Marlins, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Alcantara, their ace, goes on Wednesday. So we'll see what happens. They're still going to miss another Matt start because he's got the COVID list, right?
Yeah.
So who they fill that with, hopefully something better than TJ Zoik.
641, Pinder Report, Adam Stanley. If you managed to watch a bit of golf this weekend, you saw an impressive showing from a Canadian. Sadly, it didn't last much into Sunday.
Back nine got him, I think.
Yeah. By the time I got around him, let's see how Mac Hughes is doing here. They show the leaderboard. It's like, well, he's not anywhere. I mean, he was up there to start the round. Yeah. No, he's already. He's
sprained his ankle? Where is he? He hurt.
It's in a tree? How does that happen? So we'll talk to Adam Stanley coming up. Just after 7 o'clock, as John Rahm comes through with a couple big fist pumps.
Oh, good ones. Really good. Really fist pumps good. On a Sunday in red?
Yeah, really good. Yeah. And I think, happy, no offense to Louis Oosthuizen, but you can beat it. Because I feel like it's like, okay, Rahm, after what happened with the COVID, you deserve it. And they saw to it. Did the golf gods yesterday. But why would I tell you about it when Ryan Pinder can tell you about it next in the Pinder Report? So tight turn here. Stay there. The report is coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calgary.
Our text line is brought to you by SML Entertainment, making family time more exciting. Pool tables, pinball, ping pong, beachcomber, caldera, hot tubs, and more. Visit smlentertainment.com tonight. Islanders, Lightning, Game 5. A thrilling finish to Game 4 on Saturday. Ryan Pulock, big save. The Grandview, Manitoba native.
Wow. Was his old man's name again?
Dave.
Davey's kid.
Big Dave. Love Dave.
Kid played a little street hockey in net, I think, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. Good kids, good family. The Pulock family out of Manitoba. And Barry Trotz from Dauphin. You know, from Dauphin to Grandview is only about 15 minutes. Little did you, like, how would you have known?
That now, yeah.
How could you have ever known? Just a short trip.
Don't know that I've been to Manitoba.
Is that right?
Which is weird, because I've been to a lot of places in this country.
You're not missing much. To be quite honest, I mean.
Maybe my university roommate went to live there for 5 years in Winnipeg, and I didn't visit, so maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the Richard.
If you've been to Edmonton, you've kind of been to Winnipeg. If you've been to Red Deer, you've kind of been to Brandon.
Okay, I've been to Brandon.
You know what? If you've been to Lethbridge, you've kind of been to Brandon. Red Deer might be a little bit, bit of a step up, a little bigger. And then if you've been to Saskatchewan, in many ways, you've been to Manitoba. I mean, there's two cities, so it's Brandon, and then Dauphin is. If you've been to Olds. You've been to Dauphin? I don't know what the comparable would be.
So if you've been to the North Pole, you've been to Churchill too?
Yeah. Okay, even I've not been to Churchill. No. Farthest north for me, I haven't even gotten to, as they call it, T-Town, which is Thompson. I've not even been to T-Town, but I have been to Flin Flon.
Thompson, huh?
Which is short for Flin Tabatty Flaunton.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's some sort of...
We can talk about this later. It's really not
about
important.
Fighting in another language.
No,
sure.
Flin Tabatty Flaunton. It's a gentleman.
There you go.
Flin Tabatty. Either way, it doesn't matter what time it is. What it's time for is time for the Pinder Report.
Right. Yes.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks.
Flint.
Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Busy weekend, Dean. The U.S. Open, Game 4s in the Stanley Cup semifinals. We got a Final Four in the NBA. Euro continues, and the Jays manage not to lose a series?
Whoa!
Let's get into it, Dean! Hockey! Music! Go! You don't have the music.
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't know what happened. What must have happened is either I couldn't have deleted it, but I must have somehow labeled it differently, so now it's probably in there, but it's now like almost needle in a haystack type thing to find it.
Because usually...
Blades of Steel.
Will this work?
Close. Yeah, that's great.
All right.
Rock and roll. Game 4. Vegas, Montreal. Habs coach Dominic Ducharme testing positive for COVID. Oh, no! He's got to isolate for 2 weeks. He's giving speeches on Zoom to the boys. That's not quite the same. Rah, rah, go get him. Assistant coach Luke Richardson. Now, is he a Richard? No, he's a Richardson.
No, he's a good guy.
And
that guy
took over for the Game 3 victory. This game scoreless in the second period. Look at this. Look at this.
It's Suzuki. It's a breakaway pass. Paul Byron scores!
I know everyone's losing their mind. People are reaching out on Twitter now, 38,000 years later. Hey, Pinder, you know what you guys should talk about on the show? Paul Byron was a flame. Oh, really?
Is that right? Because
geez, I'm going to have to go back into the archives, and we've never talked about that.
No, that's never, ever come up on the show.
That's right. So thank you to all those eggs with 6 followers on Twitter for all the great advice on what to really spice up the show with. Just remember, you can never lose Yoni Ortio on waivers.
It was also brought up on Twitter, and it's probably worth mentioning, that the Habs did put him on waivers 3 times this year themselves.
Well, because he's making money now and everyone's capped out.
Right? Yeah. To get him to the taxi squad, they put him on waivers. So the Flames
Corey
only...
Corey Perry was on waivers this year for them.
That's right.
Everyone was on waivers this year.
So it's... I guess misery loves company. I don't know, but either way. Or I guess disrespect for Paul Byron has company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Another beauty. Oh, many big goals he scored, right?
Well, and that and again, he couldn't score.
He was due.
When he was here, if you saw him on a breakaway, he may as well have dumped it into the corner and changed because he could not score.
He was saving him up for big games, Dean. Don't waste him in the regular season in Alberta.
Why bother?
To the third we go. 1-0 Habs.
I'm sure I can handle this music bed.
Another good defensive play to sweep it away. Canadians don't clear, though. Carlson for McNabb scores. Braden McNabb hopped up, and the game is tied.
Braden McNabb, and that scent wafting through the building. Not those delicious little hot dogs, Dean.
Steamy.
But overtime. Shanshow. Overtime. Not much, though.
Already, four shots
not much.
Trying to swoop in front, plays it in front of the net. Nick Waugh scores. Waugh has scored in overtime, and this series is tied at two games apiece.
Swoop? Little swoopy? The swoop from Patches?
Swoop right in.
Swoopy Patch. They'll play there, and there you go. We're tied heading back to Sin City. Vegas' first ever win at the Bell Center.
Watch you guys talk on Twitter on me, you know, to get me motivated. You know, it was great.
That's Robin Lehner, who then went on to talk about how he and Marc-Andre Fleury have been great because they've been blocking out the noise. So again, Robin Lehner went to the rink early, read Twitter, got angry. But he and Marc-Andre Fleury are blocking out the noise, Dean.
So they hear
love
it,
you, Robin.
But it's not
love
getting
you.
Through. They... It's
blocking out the noise, but he just wants to read the noise and get really angry before the game, and that's how he blocks it out.
Ryan, I found it.
God bless you.
And it's exactly what I thought. It was labeled NHL 94, but somebody with their big, dumb, fat fingers put a G in front of it.
NHL.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that, use my dumb, fat fingers, remove that, and now it should be right back where it started. Thank you.
Well,
you're welcome.
I'm just glad we made that mistake at 6:42 on Friday, and we've got it nailed down less than 4 days later. So we're good. We're ready for the rest of the week. We're good.
Lippy?
A little bit, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so the story is Robin Lehner, who they went to, not Marc-Andre Fleury. They did it before. He was the sacrificial lamb in game one in round two against Colorado. It worked. Fleury came back and was great. Didn't work in the sense they won that game. They got pumped, but they were tired. They weren't as tired. They won. And now what do they do, Dean? Do they go back to MAF or do they stay with the Panda?
I go back to Fleury, but I know DeBoer, you go back to last year. Lehner was his guy. But how Fleury's been so good. And I know
Who's been better in the last week?
He made one mistake in that. Remember, they were going to win that game, right? They were winning that game if it doesn't go off the heel of his stick. I go back to Fleury, knowing that you've got... Now Lehner has played a couple games in the last 6 months, and looks like he can come in if you need him.
You worried about fatigue with Lehner? That second game in 41 days?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Big man, have a seat.
If it wasn't a conversation about Lehner, it was certainly a conversation about officiating that took over, I guess the broadcast, water coolers today.
Riley,
how pissed are we?
Riley almost said an F-bomb this morning.
Yeah.
He's very upset about it.
Are we paying attention more? Because it's been crappy the whole playoffs. Or is it even worse than normal last night? That's my question for people watching closer than us.
Well, there's less distraction.
It was bad and totally inconsistent, which matches with what we watched for the first two rounds.
Yeah. There's fewer series now. There's only two, mm-hmm. so the
That's
focus
right.
is intense. But it was no good last night. And I generally fall into the just let them play category until that means, well, now we're free to do whatever we want. Like a punch to the face is probably still a penalty. And if you want to call a penalty, then send them both or do something. But yeah, Chris Lee kind of lost control of that thing for a bit last night. The penalty on Suzuki
on Twitter.
Yeah, the penalty on Suzuki seemed kind of soft.
Awful. I mean, for the standard that was there, it's incredible.
Yeah, if you were calling sticks on hands and like it was in the regular season, then yeah, by the rule of it, it's sure. probably a it's probably
if
a call.
If you're calling everything, call that. But you can't not call everything else, and then that's the one.
But Tuck and Deno are doing some sort of a WWE routine, and Nosek gets hits Weber from behind, penalty. Then gets punched in the head, penalty. Then cross checked, penalty. Then they get tangled, and then finally they send them both off. It was silly, and I feel like they have to talk to the refs, don't they? Somebody has to say, all right, like there's too much on the line here, because at some point we're gonna slam our you know what in the door, and we're really gonna have egg on our face.
You're gonna slam what in the door?
You know,
that sounds painful.
The D in the door. Well, it would be, right, and it would be painful, Ryan.
Let's move along. More NHL news. Hardwood for the Canes again. Just a few days after Rod Brind'Amour won the Jack Adams, Jacob Slavin announced as the winner. The Lady Bing Dean, the top defender in the NHL. I shouldn't say that. The top pairing defender played the most minutes for the Canes and yet only took one penalty this year. That's rather gentlemanly, isn't it?
And I believe it was an over-the-glass minor.
Wasn't even mean to an opposing player. He just flipped it over the glass.
He is a sweetheart.
Fourth defenseman ever to win the award. That's saying something, because Bill Quackenbush of the Red Wings was the first to do it. Red Kelly did it three times. So there's some fossils. And then Brian Campbell, the last D-man to win it, 2011-12.
And Quackenbush, he would shove you into traffic to open the door for a lady.
As a gentleman would, Dean.
If you were going to pick up the groceries of some elderly lady to help out, he would kick you right in the shins so that he could do it himself.
He would give you the Adam Pellick on Braden Point.
Just
toss
right.
you right into your own goalie to open a door for
old,
someone.
Old
you
know. Quackenbush, Barry.
Yeah. More hardware. Alexander Barkov wins the Selkie, his first Selkie. First Panther ever to win it. How about that? Four-time winner Patrice Bergeron, second place.
Here's to the Sunshine State.
Right, yeah.
Well, if there's one thing, I mean, it's clear now. Bergeron, loser. Am I right, guys? You know what I'm saying?
Patrice? Or...
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Bergeron, yes, I'm with you. Yep, for sure. Tonight, Game 5, Tampa is hosting the Islanders. Tied at 2, 6 o'clock on your radio, all the TV channels. Braden Point, franchise record goals in 7 straight games. Goals in 9 of his last 10 games. 66 points in 59 career playoff games.
Hey. Did you know?
Yeah, we all know. Islanders have won both their games 5s this year in the postseason, both on the road. So this is not wrapped up and done, Dean. Okay.
Well, I said
Barry's
earlier,
boys will be ready to go.
Yeah, that where we sit right now, it's hard to wrap your head around. But both of these series are tied at 2, which means we still have no idea who's going to win either series.
Whoever gets 6 wins here, that's it. Just 6 W's, 6 pucks. Collect them after the buzzer goes, and you're gonna have a big party for a long time.
6 wins. That's right. 6 more wins.
6 wins. I know math on the.
But
air,
even
so it's scary,
but even these series, there's a chance now that they're gonna go to 6 or maybe even 7 games after what we've seen in the weekend.
Now we've double checked that. The interns have run the numbers on that. That's true.
I don't trust the interns with stuff this heavy. I don't do it.
Okay, fair enough. Blue Jays, let's go there. Rubber match yesterday. Our boy Gibby would have liked it. Toronto rallied for 6 in the 9th inning to win on Saturday. That snapped a 5-game skid and then got to turn to the race. Hyunjin Ryu, he was excellent yesterday. He allowed a home run to the second batter of the game, but after that, pretty darn good. 7 innings pitched. He allowed just 3 hits and retired 17 of the last 18 batters he faced. That's more like it, Hyunjin. Where do you go? HJ? What do we call him? Ryu? New nickname for this cat. As for the offense, it broke things wide open in the 5th inning, where new papa Teoscar Hernandez was fresh back off the paternity list. And it was a good weekend for baby swag, Dean.
Teoscar Hernandez lines one. That's a fair ball. Down the left field line. Bichette is going to score. Guerrero will stop at 3rd on an RBI double by Hernandez. And the Blue Jays now lead 2-1.
They'd keep adding runs in the 5th. It was a good inning.
Biggio with a fly ball, shallow left center field, and it's off the glove of Mountcastle. Hernandez in to score. Around a third on the play comes Grichuk. That'll be an RBI single for Biggio. It is 4-1.
There you go. Four RBI base hits in the inning. Gave him the lead. Also, big day for backup catcher Reese McGuire, Dean. He was whacking it all over the field. Four-hit
okay.
day.
You know
three
what?
Doubles. Wow.
Just absolutely. You know what?
Wow.
Just sit right there because I can't think of the last time that someone has earned one of these quite like that. I mean, what?
Just the fifth time in MLB history a number nine hitter has swatted three doubles in a game. Dean, he was... Four hits there. Don't know that we want to hear one. Okay. Well,
and he puts another good swing on the ball. Lines it into the right field corner. Gurriel's going to come in to score. McGuire head first into second with his third double of the afternoon.
Very impressive. Don't know why we can't celebrate Reese's successes on the show. Jay's been 7-4.
I've got it ready. If you have one more,
I don't have anything.
If you want to make it three.
I'm just talking about the Blue Jays. What was the problem there?
No, I think we're all very aware. I'm ready.
Marlins coming up tomorrow. All off right. day today. Ross Stripling, the tantrum apologist, set to start on Tuesday. We'll wait and see for Wednesday with Steven Matz's turn coming up in the rotation, and he's still on the COVID list. Jays back to 500 after those back-to-back wins that followed five losses in a row. Yuck.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.
That was Chuck on Saturday.
Is it?
Yeah, he said, you remember, not frustrated, having so much fun.
That's right.
Playing good baseball.
Chuck.
Staying positive, smiles everywhere.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Jay's also added a reliever from the Mets. Righty, Jacob Barnes, in exchange for something named Troy Miller. Barnes has a tidy... Barnes has a 6.27 ERA, and will possibly be a bullpen depth for the Jays. We'll see.
Bunch of hillbilly barn painters.
They've also added maple arm John Axford on a minor league deal. He pitched for Canada at the Olympic qualification tournament.
He's also 38.
Sure. So if you can get guys out of AAA, maybe we'll let you up to the big club.
Goat. And by that, I'm great. I don't mean,
all time?
Great. Oh. No. Just a goat.
Chapman,
old
maybe,
goat.
Rivera, Mariano. No, oh, Axford, huh?
Who cares?
Yeah, if either of these guys want to get outs, that'd be great. Just don't hold your breath on it, Dean, would you?
I'm not, certainly.
Major League Baseball news. Oh,
Shohei Ohtani.
Boy.
Showtime.
This is so bad, buddy. I mean, I know it's a pandemic and we can't be in studio, but that is.
Have you seen the last week of Shohei Ohtani's career?
Yeah, I did.
Here's the 1-2, and he golfs this one to deep center
field.
Gone. Tied back up. The mistake to Shohei Ohtani. He buries it in the bushes.
Easy. That's been a good week for him. Tuesday, home run. Wednesday, home run. Thursday, he started. One earned run over six innings, 5K, gets the win. Friday, two home runs. Saturday, home run, and yesterday, tying the Major League lead with his 23rd home run.
Showtime!
He's also committed to the home run derby, Dean. I like this.
Showtime!
Yeah. All right. NBA playoffs. Here we go. Hawks beat the 76ers 103-96. The first Game 7 win in Hawks franchise history that's come on the road. They were 0-9. Wild offseason ahead in Philly. Trust the process. Maybe they need a new process? I don't know. Suns and Clippers played game one yesterday on the western side. Phoenix wins 120-114. Devin Booker, never had a triple-double before. 40 points and a triple-double last night. Good time for that. I guess it was in the afternoon, not night. But, you know, good day for the shooting guard. No games tonight. Euro 2020. Here's what you need to know.
Open wide for some soccer!
Group A action ending yesterday. Italians secured a third win. They beat Wales 1-0. Italy wins Group A. Wales will finish second. They're through. Switzerland beat Turkey 3-1. They now have to wait and see if they'll be one of the four third-place teams that'll get through to the knockout round. Lacking drama on that front, I guess. Four games today, 10 a.m. a pair. Austria, Ukraine, Northern Macedonia, Holland. That's Group C play. Austria, Ukraine, big one. Win, second place is yours. Lose, cross your fingers. Dutch are already in. They wrapped up first in Group C, 5 days ago. 1 p.m., another pair, Belgium, Finland. The Belgians through already, and then Russia, Denmark at the same time as well. Second and third up for grabs in that division. So that's Group B, Dean. I know you got to keep your letters separate. It's C and B today, wrapping up qualifying play.
CB, breaker.
CB Buckner.
Pig pen, this here's rubber duck.
U.S. Open, Canadian Mackenzie Hughes, your leader after 54 holes. Wow, first time in his career. He's in the final group at a major on Sunday, and it did not go well. At one point, his ball stuck in a tree after bouncing off a cart path. He tumbled down the leaderboard, nowhere near place number one with that big $2-plus million check. As for the other Sunday stars, what a leaderboard. Dustin Johnson within reach. Brooks Koepka was there. Bryson DeChambeau in the mix. Rory McIlroy was there. Youngster Colin Morikawa, all there. And one by one, they all faltered. The man who didn't was Jon Rahm, Dean, who birdied 17 and 18 to eke out a one-stroke win over Louis Oosthuizen, who dunked his drive on 17. Here is Rahm with a couple of big birdie putts in the last two holes of the tournament. First Spaniard ever to win the U.S. Open, Dean. He loves San Diego. Proposed to his wife there. Got his first win there. Baby in tow. Good weekend for the dads and a little baby swag on Father's Day for Jon Rahm, his first major championship. Pretty cool.
Happy for him, especially after the COVID. And I know we'll talk about it coming up here, but yeah, really got kind of screwed.
But yes and no. Like, get the vaccine, yeah.
I get, yeah. But like, you can't golf by yourself.
Well, I mean,
you can't put the guy on the golf course when he's leading in a tournament. Just, well, okay, you and your caddy or whatever. Do
so
your own.
How much money would you risk by not getting the vaccine is the question I'd ask old Johnny 2 weeks ago. But hey, he sorted it out. He stayed positive and he went back to his happy place, San Diego. More on that with Adam Stanley when we come back. He'll join us in 3 minutes. That's your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
It was an absolute day of utter joy.
Yeah, dads everywhere. Happy Father's Day. We will come back, speaking of Adam Stanley. We're going to talk to him next. His thoughts on any number of things. It was a wild kind of a finish. If you were rooting for Mackenzie Hughes, it obviously didn't go the right way. If you felt, if you were happy for Jon Rahm, or if you like watching a DeChambeau implode, that was really special,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, plummeting to the earth from space.
Really great.
Terminal velocity.
Yeah, we'll talk to Adam when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Tonight we've got Game 5 between the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The way this thing is going, doesn't it feel like, regardless who wins tonight, it's going to find a way to seven? Back and forth, both teams so resilient. The series has been so close.
Haven't had a game seven for a couple rounds, have we?
You go back to that last game. Islanders 3-0 lead. Oh, they're going to cruise. Nope, 3-2. Nail biter right to the finish. And probably would have gone to overtime if not for some ridiculous save by Islander defenseman Ryan Pulock. 6 o'clock, Game 5, tonight on your radio, Sportsnet 960. Pretty good Father's Day, I would suggest, for Jon Rahm yesterday, who, and again, we can debate whether, you know, about COVID or whatever, but either way, June 5th, not that long ago, Rahm is forced to withdraw from the Memorial, had a 6-stroke lead going into the final round. COVID tracing got him, has to leave, can't finish, loses out on a prize, would have been worth over $1.6 million. 16 days later, he wins the U.S. Open, and the purse is $2.25. Now, not to say that you wouldn't have liked that $1.6, $1.7 on top of the $2.25 million, but sometimes maybe things have a way of working out. Adam Stanley joins us. He is our golf insider. Adam, thanks for doing this morning, man. I'm finding it hard not to feel pretty good for John Rahm between you see him with all of his family. He's got the new baby proposed on the golf course to his wife who is there. How don't you feel good for this guy getting it done yesterday with all he's had go on in the last 6 weeks?
Yeah, I don't even know really if it's a redemption story, just as much of a karma cosmic alignment kind of story. At Torrey Pines, like you had said before I jumped on here about Rahm, of course, testing positive for COVID. The PGA Tour's protocols are pretty strict in that regard. So, he gets taken off the golf course. He has to enter tracing protocols, doesn't swing a club for 10 days. He actually said yesterday, though, that break, that forced break, actually was a bit of a treat for him. He doesn't really slow down at all during the summertime. So to be able to kind of just hang out, chill, do nothing, don't have to worry about much, was actually for his benefit. He had no business making those two putts on 17 and 18 yesterday, a couple of tricky sliders with some aggressive fist pumps afterwards. They were not easy, that's for sure, but he ends up coming away with the victory, with his kid there, his wife, three generations of his family, all good stuff.
I guess the only thing that would have made it better is if he's in the final group, right? Nails that putt and then manages to get the winning putt on 18 with everything on the line, had to wait for it a little bit. But you're right. Ryan, you had said it earlier. It kind of had, and I know everybody kind of compares it to Tiger, and it's kind of an exhausted kind of a narrative, but
you got to, though.
The guy's wearing red. Those two putts, 17 and 18 on Sunday with everything on the line.
Fist pumps.
It was very Tiger-esque, wasn't it?
The fist pumps as well, yes. It was very Tiger-esque. Torrey Pines, I mean, this is where Tiger won the U.S. Open on one leg. Here we are 15, 18 years later, and he's still on one leg, I guess, after the car accident from earlier this year. But yeah, I mean, John Rahm, this was inevitable. John Rahm was always going to win a major. Golf is the most unpredictable of games, but there are few sure things in the sport. This John Rahm winning a major was certainly one of them. Moves back to number one in the world, and just it was too good to be true until it was true. And you're right. Had this been a final group on Sunday situation, it would have been unbelievable drama. Just too crazy to even think that it happened when it did. But we had to sit and we waited. And then when Louis Oosthuizen kind of screwed up a little bit at the end there, it was John Rahm's major. So good for him. I mean, he was a fabulous talker in the media room afterwards, and just such a great golfer and a great person. And this was a great win.
So for Louis, second place is rather familiar in majors. He's got one to his name, the first place, and what, almost two slams of second place? Yes. A poor guy.
Six runner-up finishes in his career now.
Oh my goodness. Like, what are your thoughts when you watch him coming down the stretch, knowing what we knew, which was that was his history?
Well, it was ridiculous that he blew it into the hazard, into the penalty area on 17. I mean, this guy has the sweetest swing of anybody on the PGA Tour. And I guess it just goes to show you that sort of nerves and the moment can take over anybody. And that includes somebody who's got the nicest swing on the PGA Tour. So tough to see from Louis there in the penalty area on the 71st hole. And then, of course, he didn't even hit a nice tee shot either on the 72nd hole either, had to kind of punch out. And then that was what was left, the 70-yard pitch that he needed to dunk for an eagle to try to get tied with John Rahm. So what do we know about Louis? A fabulous golf swing, a nice career that a lot of people would look back and say that they wish they would have had too, but a lot of near misses as well.
Yeah, fair enough. And the Canadian story heading in was the big one. Mackenzie Hughes had the lead after 54 holes, his first final group at a major on Sunday. At least he can look back and say he's learned, I guess.
And he hit a ball in a tree.
Yeah, that's what you don't want to do, right? So the lesson is don't hit your ball in a tree.
You do not want to hit a ball in a tree. It was pretty wild. I mean, Mackenzie Hughes, you got to feel for the guy. Final group on Sunday at a major, his first time doing that, ends up really getting out of the gates poorly. And that's like any sport. That's like anybody, even on the PGA Tour. If you're going to go 3 over par through your first 6 holes, you know, you kind of have an inkling that it's not going to be your day. The thing is, Mackenzie still had a chance. I mean, he was only a shot or two back making the turn. Then, of course, he hits the ball in the tree and he's, you know, all kinds of messed up. And then he tries to press a little bit, which you can't do at a U.S. Open, and he just stumbles into the finish line. But, you know, had this been Brooke Henderson or even Corey Connors, somebody like that, and they were in the final group on Sunday at a major and they dropped way down, you'd think that it was a disappointment. But Mackenzie Hughes came into the week off 5 missed cuts in a row. His best finish at a major was tied for 40th. I mean, this dude was just kind of living in the moment, trying to take it a round at a time, a shot at a time. And this, you know, we kind of say, well, at least he learned something. For Mackenzie Hughes, 100% he learned something. And I think that this was a big time positive for him. And now he gets to get into this position another time in the future, feeling a lot better about himself and his approach to things.
Thoughts on Bryson versus Brooks? It was Bryson that had the advantage until, what, the back nine when he completely unraveled. Just an ugly back nine for the scientist.
Bryson was leading this tournament through 9 holes. When he made the turn, he was leading the U.S. Open. And then, of course, shoots his worst 9-hole score in his career, coming in at 44. I think he was well over par for the back nine. And it was just like, it was weird. It was weird to see the implosion from Bryson because, you know, his approach to the U.S. Open, for anyone who kind of feels like, well, you know, this is ridiculous. It may be ridiculous, but it's working clearly. I mean, it was working until it wasn't, I guess, is the better way of describing it. But weird to see him play as poorly as he did for the final 9 holes. I think he was just kind of mentally distracted. There was the streaker on the one hole that came ripping past him. And then he just was playing totally, totally ugly golf. And then Brooks ends up topping him by the time the leaderboard is all said and done. So I don't think that rivalry is going away anytime soon. It's fun for the sport. People were so tucked into it all week long, and certainly all of yesterday when there was a chance that maybe there would be a playoff to win this thing between those two guys. So all in all, good for the sport, but bad 9 holes for Bryson.
So just a quick, sorry, I was just going to say a quick question. Now, was it a streaker? Because it looked like there was some mode of clothing, whether it was a flag or something, because I feel like a fan took to the, you know, was on the fairway. But if you're going to be a streaker, I mean, have some guts, right? Like strip down and do this thing, own it, right?
You're right. I think it was more of I think the upper body, I think was uncovered. Lower body, I think, was covered, plus a little flag. And he brought a club and some golf balls, and he was hitting balls in the fairway. So you're right. A streaker, I guess, is perhaps a poor way of describing it, as much of an unruly fan.
That's,
I think,
right.
The language they landed on.
He had a smooth swing. I was pretty impressed. Pretty all that good. Pressure. He knows the police are coming. People are screaming. He's on national television. And then really smooth, steady, good pacing. I was impressed. Nice couple of wedges.
It was good action. It was.
Yeah. But again, it tells you the condition of the course, right? That's we could all do that if we stripped down to our skivvies and went to one of these great courses, right? Thanks, man. It was again. I don't know. I where you falling on DeChambeau, but I loved watching that shank. I don't know why. Oh, I loved it. It was spectacular. Is right. And the box of beer, again, fancy people. Stella Artois, like it's not some Stella. Old Milwaukee, right? I mean, it's okay. A highbrow crew at the U.S. Open. I don't know what is going on with fans in sports now that COVID is kind of loosing. We've seen
all the NBA fans
dumping popcorn and throwing stuff and spitting on people putting on, taking their clothes off and hitting golf balls at Torrey Pines. I don't know what's happening. We're losing our minds.
Saving up all this energy for the last year and a half. Now we're just ready to unleash it.
Now, question for you, and I admit, the Olympic for the Canadian Olympic golf, we're going to hear about, is today the final day for qualifying? Today's kind of a day for that, right?
Yesterday was the final day of qualifying. If Adam Hadwin finished tied for third or better at the U.S. Open, he would have jumped into one of the spots. He did not, so the official announcement will come today, but Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes on the men's side will be the Olympic representation for Canada. On the women's side, That is still to be confirmed. I think it's this week.
Right. Good stuff, Adam. Appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for jumping in.
No worries, fellas. Thanks so much.
You bet. Golf Insider Adam Stanley here with us on a Monday. Is it? And again, it's bad form to like when other people really fall apart. But I find it really tough. Now
you need a villain. We talked about the stupid Disney, always the bad guy. You need some villains. You need, you know, the wrestling's built on this. Good guys and bad guys, rivalries.
But the thing is, I'm not sure Brooks Koepka's the best guy in the world either, though. If you're doing the Brooks versus Bryson.
We all want to be Brooks, not Bryson. But yeah, he can be
do we?
A bit of a Richard.
Okay.
Rather be Bryson, not Brooks?
I don't know. I feel like there's maybe.
One has social skills. I mean,
Yeah, I don't know. But that
would you like to be known as the scientist that pulls out his barometer and measures wind levels and gets accused of slow play and then gets so offended by the way the world's treating him that he adds like 60 pounds of muscle and drinks energy drinks all day and smoothies, protein bars? I mean, come on now.
Are you describing me right now? It feels like
it sure does.
Looking
yeah.
in a mirror. No. We will break. Coming up at 7:45, we will have the grand prize draw of our whatever it was called contest with Paradise Bay, where we're going to make a phone call, and somebody's going to have a choice to make.
Ooh.
Door number one, door number two, door number three. Will it be the gas grill? Will it be the propane fire pit? Or will it be the big patio umbrella?
Mm.
So the grand prize call coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes.
Phone on you.
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Grey Wolf Golf Course is open. Yep. Voted BC's number one public course. Greywolfgolf.com is the website.
It's my fave, Dean. It's number one on the list right there.
I was going to say, you're a honk.
I'm a huge Grey Wolf honk. Massive fan. Career round there.
Nice career round?
That's the best round I've ever had in golf is at Grey Wolf, about 3 years ago.
In your career?
I'm just saying, when your best of your life is called a career round. Yes,
is it?
That's correct.
Even if you're not...
Especially if you're not a professional, yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's a thing in golf. You keep track of your best score.
No, I'm sure you do. Yeah. I would also remember where I'd had my best round. I don't know that I'd call it my career round.
What would you call it?
Well, I'd say shot best round of my life.
Tighten it up for you there. Well, two words.
Don't you need it? It's not. I don't have a golf career. I'm not going to fight you about this. I don't have it in me. I'm too.
Wheelhouse, right?
Hey?
Wheelhouse.
Is it? Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah?
Are we leaning on you for golf language?
No, we definitely okay. shouldn't be. Okay. But I would guess, so what's your career high in goals in beer league?
Again,
would that
golf
be,
lingo.
Would that be, is it?
Yeah. This is not a hockey conversation.
Okay. What's your career goals against in net there, Riley, in your beer league career?
Well, it's got to be below 850.
Really?
So the thing about team sports is you remember you're trying to win. Golf, the only thing that matters at the end is what did you shoot?
Okay. I'll go with it. Somebody on the text line is saying that you're the Bryson of radio.
Yeah, potentially.
How do you feel
that's
about
who you
that?
Are. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's all those protein shakes, right?
Is it? You're top
gotta
heavy?
Be. Yeah. Yeah. Just I better get back to that space suit and get training. Add another 60 pounds of muscle.
I thought about that over the weekend. I am now.
I'm going back this week. I haven't got a day figured out because I'm
don't
busy,
even.
Very busy.
I don't understand. I just.
I'm going to send a photo and we'll expand on it after
okay.
that point.
It's not that I.
It's a lot.
It's that some guy that you met on a shady Kijiji deal had you in a spacesuit days later.
Months later.
Because I've done a lot of Kijiji. I've done the Kijiji a long time.
Yep,
I can't honestly tell you that I've that I've looked to interact with any of the people beyond the transaction.
Yeah, no, I know. And I just, like I said, very friendly, bearded fellow that was worthy of my trust. It was obvious immediately.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good, trustworthy beard.
Good people.
Friendly bearded man.
Is that what it is? Is it a beard that puts you at ease?
Wasn't worried about him at all.
No.
He's not going to steal that bike out of the garage. He's just here for the sofa.
Hey, Riley.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your Habs right now?
I feel good.
I don't know that you do. I feel like you're just...
It's weird because he said he knows they're not going to win again. And I assumed he was talking about the Habs.
I did too, right? Vegas. Yeah, I thought when he said...
Oh, okay, well. So the plan's been get a lead and lean on Carey. And then last night was kind of a very different script. They actually like really outchanced the other team, which hasn't been the go-to for them. And they lost. They got Montreal Canadiened by the Golden Knights. And that performance has instilled more belief in the Habs?
Yes.
Well, and I assumed they were going to win that hockey game the way it was going in the third period. They were going to find a way. And I was impressed because it wasn't like you see a lot of times. And I think Montreal has been criticized by me, whoever. But Montreal has been criticized of just kind of white-knuckling and hanging on and doing, you know, Islander-type stuff, if you want to call it that. But you go back to the game on Friday. Montreal wins it in overtime. Shots on goal were 45-27. Like, that's Vegas was all over them and probably deserved to win. Give up the wonky goal with 2 minutes left. They get a bounce, a great goal in OT. They win it. But watching Montreal, as I thought they were going to take a 3-1 series lead, I was very impressed. It wasn't as though they were, even when they had that lead, they weren't sitting back. They were still out shooting Vegas. Vegas looked very out of sorts. They're getting goals from their defense as much as anything right now. I don't know where this finally looks like a team that you would think, well, this is an expansion team that isn't going to be able to score a ton. But we know that they can score a ton. We've seen it happen. But then they find a way. Now we're tied. So I don't know. You come out of Montreal. Both teams played games they deserved to win. Both teams got wins. It was just kind of backwards with how it went. I don't know what I'm watching in either one of these two right now. Because Vegas looked really good 2 games ago and lost. And then I thought, are they tired? They were so out of it last night for a good chunk of that game. Oh, Montreal was great yesterday.
Like, Robin Lehner holds the fort pretty darn nicely there, all things considered, which is why I really do think that they'll contemplate starting him again. They win. They don't have to switch anything, do they?
They don't.
You know they're going to go home. You know they're going to play better. They're going to have last change. But the goalie that looks sharpest right now is Lehner.
But all I think, my thought is they have, this is now, it's a pattern in a way, in giving, if only... the psychology of it. Fleury's our guy. He's tired. Play Lehner. Fleury comes back, plays great. DeBoer said that Fleury didn't come out and didn't play this game because, here's what he had to say. He was asked, why did you go with Lehner? Is it because of the mishandling of the puck at the end of the game on Friday by Fleury that led to the game-tying goal? Is that why?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. The play at the end of the third period had zero to do with the decision. I think during that 30-something days, the last month of hockey that Flowers played, I think we've had only 2 days, two situations where we've had more than a day off of rest. You know, it's impossible, you know, not to wear the playoff trail. And, you know, from a fatigue point of view, the mishandle had nothing to do with it.
I believe him, actually. Because if there's a goalie you would give the benefit of the doubt to right now with how good he's been, it's Marc-Andre Fleury. Because he's been terrific. He's been great all year. He's up for the Vezina. So yeah. If my thought process is you go back to Fleury to get him back in there, knowing that if he falters, Leonard's ready to go. If you go with Lehner again,
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, then you're going back to Fleury, and it none of it probably matters at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I mean, none of it matters.
Not a huge gap
because it's all just about narrative and how you're going to spin it. I just think from a coaching standpoint, in coach speak, you go back to Fleury. If he isn't ready, you go to Leonard again. But the more you let Fleury sit, you know, is it Fleury's team? How do the guys feel about Fleury not playing? That whole nonsense.
Well, I mean, they alternated for 20-plus games in the regular season. Straight back and forth. So
but they haven't to this point.
Problem about, like, oh, how are the players going to react? It's been all year back and forth until the playoffs, and only the beginning of the season because Leonard was hurt and had the concussion and was rehabbing an injury. Like, this is this has been absolutely a tandem in the truest sense of the word for the bulk of the season. And the only other playoff game that Leonard's been in, he lost, so of course he went back to Fleury. He won here and was their best player.
But again,
I'd ride him if he's hot.
And if you go back
to
that,
to your point, like, they're both, you're not getting bad goaltending from
Vegas. Yeah, if you go back to Friday, if Vegas on one of those 50 shots gets one more goal, we're not talking about anything. Fleury can
maybe.
Fleury
can give seven and went to Leonard.
But no, what I'm saying is a misplay doesn't matter if they win that hockey game. The offense has had a hard time in this series, and I would not have guessed that. I wouldn't have guessed that Vegas was going to struggle to score. That they'd be taking Alex Tuch and moving him to center to play up the lineup because they're trying to get, what, Pacioretty and Stone going? Like, that's not what I would have thought we'd be talking about at this point. It's not about goaltending with the Golden Knights at all, to me. It's where's the offense? Is Montreal really doing that good of a job? And I guess the answer is yes.
Yep. No, they are, for sure. This has absolutely been, you know, a team that we thought was a really high-powered offense and could wheel that has been slowed down by Montreal. Structurally, whatever it is, officials, I mean, for whatever reason, the pace of this series has not been what you would have expected it to be.
And
this
what
is
the Habs
high-flying trading chances. This is a lot of back and forth in the neutral zone.
Yeah, and what the Habs have done on their penalty kill is astounding. It's 11 straight games that they have not allowed a power play goal. Now, obviously, the whistles, as we saw last night, they're going away. But you're still talking about, even in that Winnipeg series, you're still talking about an offense without Scheifele that's got Kyle Connor and Blake Wheeler and Nikolai Ehlers. Nothing. Had nothing there. They've gone 26 for 26 in their last 11 games and have scored three shorthanded goals at the same time.
Plus three. Take more penalties.
Not bad. Not bad. So I don't think it really matters who Vegas puts in there.
I'd agree with that. To be honest, like, it's an interesting decision that they have, and to talk about the decision is interesting, but I don't really believe we'll be talking about the error that DeBoer made in net, no matter the outcome.
Like, Mark Stone didn't have a shot on net last night.
That's something.
Like that, Riley Smith did not have a shot on net. They had more than that. They had a handful of guys that didn't even get a shot. Credit to the Habs, man. You know what you would call it, and I like it's not your term, but it's low event hockey.
Yeah,
low event. Which, well, I don't necessarily find to be boring. I think you can have. I still find it.
I just keep viewing this series in the context of what could have been Colorado-Vegas. That would have been high-event hockey.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just me really wishing that that was the case, but I don't think this is the product that is going to turn the NHL into this massive, you know, watch out MLB, here they come. Like, if people tune into this series, they're going to say, what the hell's going on with officiating and where are the chances? Whereas Colorado-Vegas, I thought, had a chance to be a really special series that would go down and wouldn't be forgotten anytime soon. Like, when you think back about the Kings against the Blackhawks, like, just, you know, once-in-a-decade type run-ins, that's what I was hoping Colorado-Vegas would be. This is far from that.
And I wonder, because people said, is Vegas still kind of... Did they put so much into that Colorado series, knowing that was going to be, in many ways, you beat Colorado, you're probably punching a ticket to the Cup final, which is not obviously the case, but they're now four games in. I would think if you have any Colorado hangover, whatever you want to call it, would that not have subsided now? You know you've got your hands full in this series. Get over it now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any hangover. That's not really the point. I just think, look, there's four teams left. Is this the best series entertainment-wise that we have, or does it feel like a step back from rounds one and two a bit? It's not been scintillating hockey.
No, it's a step back, and it's teams doing exactly what they know they have to in order to win.
Yeah, and if it's different teams, there's different plans here. Like if it's Toronto, that's one of the final four. If it's Toronto, Tampa, Vegas, and Colorado. I know Vegas and Colorado played in round two, but I just don't know that what Montreal and the Islanders are doing is the sexiest thing. But if they win, no one cares. Like in 04, we talked about it. That was some of the most dull and boring, you know, hockey, but no one in Calgary cared. It was the greatest time in the city's history, some people would tell you.
Carlson, Stone. Well, Pacioretty had a good night. He had five shots yesterday.
He was good. He was buzzing last night.
But Stone, Carlson, Marchessault combined for three shots.
I looked at the scores last night in just the semifinals. So just Islanders, Lightning, and just Habs and Golden Knights. Do you want to guess like what we're talking about for goals every night?
Well, I can only imagine because we've watched.
Like if you'd hammered the under, I think you'd won all but one game so far.
Yeah.
So let's go back to game one. What was it last Sunday when I believe we started with 2-1, Islanders beat the Lightning. 4-1, Vegas beats Montreal. Oh, what a barn burner. That's high scoring. Five goals in a game. 4-2, 3-2, 2-1, 3-2, 3-2, 2-1.
And in that 4-1 game, were there two empty netters or just the one? I'm trying to remember because I know there's been some games where there've been empty net goals. No, it is low event, and there's drama only because the scores have been tight. But I don't find myself all that upset about, I don't know, maybe I'm off. I was going to say, I'm not bored to tears. I see some people, I'm falling asleep here. I'm not falling asleep.
No, I just feel like it's a combination. How many weeks have we been going hockey every single night in the playoffs? Round three is usually where the fatigue comes. Round one is the best. It's like they're on every channel, intermission here, jump over there. Wow, look at the speed limit just jumped 20. This is crazy. Two is fun, and then I always find there's a wall for me in round three. Whatever reason, I'm waiting. Who's getting there? Let's go. It's also like summer solstice here. The cup's usually awarded by now.
Is it?
People.
Do you have summertime
people have lives
sadness
in the summer? Quite the opposite. No. There's no one sitting inside with nothing to do this time of year.
Speak for yourself.
Well,
watch your mouth.
One person I know.
We'll come back. We'll make a phone call. The grand prize in our whatever it was called contest, we will award we're going to have a great prize for one of our listeners, one of our qualifiers, courtesy of Paradise Bay. Get your phones around. Be ready. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Coming up in the nine, it's a Monday. It's an Eric Francis Monday. EF, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Live horse racing is back Tuesdays and Sundays at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Limited fan access available. And you can still watch from home. Go online, check it out, hpibet.com, hpibet.com. Monday here on Sportsnet 960. There's Pinder.
How's the tired level, Dean? There's a fatigue on a Monday that's a horrible red flag that I'm worried about.
No, you know what it is? I don't know. It's fine, right? You know what it is? It's summer, man.
You know what it is? You need some vacation.
It's summer.
When was the last time you took some time off?
Well, we had a long weekend a couple weeks ago, right?
A couple weeks ago.
Didn't we? May long? When was May long?
That was a month ago, yeah. Ish, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was one day.
And then there was the...
you get what, like 5 weeks vacation? You can go ahead and...
Maybe a little more.
Yeah, so, you know, one day isn't what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's probably time.
Like, get the H out of here.
You know what? It would be time for, it, if nothing else, Ryan, the listeners deserve a break from me. You know, it's not whether or not I deserve a break.
If listeners deserve breaks from hosts, I wouldn't have a job in this business, okay?
It's not about...
That phony line, okay?
It's not about
that narrative
permanent.
Is non-existent.
No. It's not about a permanent break. It's just, just a nice little break. Marriages need them. Relationships need them. And I feel like morning shows and listeners need them.
You need a Vegas trip.
Oh, I'd love to go somewhere, but apparently... What, non-essential? We're now into July again.
Essential for you. Have you heard you this morning? This is essential.
I don't even know what to talk about this morning. I mean, it's so the Habs, we've talked about that. How about Doc Rivers and the 76ers? They can't win, right?
No. Well, they should have adopted a team in Euro.
I'll be honest, though. Again, this is the negative side. Mm. I was pleased to see the Brooklyn Nets lose. I know it's an old thing, super teams. Yeah, right?
How dare these players have a voice and want to play with other good players? Let stupid GMs decide all that.
Come on,
what?
If you're so good, then win. Go ahead and win.
Yeah, he's got some titles already. Yeah.
Yeah, and how did he get them?
By being
a superstar
in the league.
Give me Clay.
If the Golden State Warriors were starting you, they would not be winning the NBA Finals. I got bad news.
Did they win because of Durant? Is that why they won?
Well, you remove one superstar in a league where your three superstars gets you a title.
They won without him. They seemed to do fine without him. And yes, they did fine with him.
How are they doing now without him?
Well, how is the Nets doing with him?
They were two injuries away from being in the NBA Finals.
Bah, is what I say to that, Ryan. I give that a hearty bah.
Like, if Harden and Irving are healthy, are we having this conversation? Come on.
Probably not.
No.
But that's part of it. It's part of all sports. It's why,
of course.
You know what, Ryan? It's why they play the games. That's my thing.
Why do we hate super teams if we still need to play the games? I mean, geez. It's a wild Final Four for the NBA. This is usually the league where it's like, okay, wake me for the finals. I know it'll be two of these four teams type thing. I think it's like the first time in eons that both of the top seeds didn't get to the conference finals.
There would have been a time.
It is normally like the least surprising postseasons ever.
Not that long ago. And I mean, I'm not a big hoop, but if you were to say the Hawks, the Bucks, the Suns, and the Clippers are in the final, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
What possible state of affairs would the planet be in where those would be your final four? But I'm down for it. I don't know if it's going to make me watch anymore. I was happy to watch. Like I say, I was watching to see if the Nets would blow it, which they did. And now I don't want Kawhi to, even though he's hurt, I don't want him winning.
Kawhi's sprained knee. Chris Paul's got the COVID issue. He's in the list. Who's left?
So, I mean, do you want Giannis? I kind of like Trey. I like that kid. Even though he is going bald. He is balding.
He's not lacking confidence, that young man. He good.
Yeah.
He could not make a shot for his life in the first half last night, and then just when it mattered, big three, seals it. See ya.
Text coming in on the fan feedback line for SML Entertainment. Pinder defending NBA super teams, and Kevin Durant is peak Pinder. It might be. It's all right, though.
I don't know. I mean, it's certainly a different sport. Like, it's hard to apply that to any other league. Like, you can have three Pro Bowlers in the NFL. It doesn't mean squat. You can have three amazing. Like the Angels have Rendon, Trout, and Otani. They're 500.
Yes.
Hockey, like, the Leafs have three $10 million forwards. Like, it's the only league where it happens. Guys aren't dumb. why wouldn't they want to do that? No, I'd rather just be me and a bunch of scrubs and we can lose in the second round every year. Like, of course, you know, if you're a superstar and you're in a crappy little market, let's go win a title. Let's get some other good players around because all we need is three of us.
So in Edmonton, McDavid, Draisaitl, all they need is...
Mike Smith. There's three. Yeah. Doesn't do much for you.
So only in hoops? It doesn't work in
just
hockey?
Just hoops, man.
Because they have their three superstars? That's what you're saying? Got it. Got it.
It's probably Nurse, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once they get Dougie Hamilton, they'll have four. That's unstoppable.
Where is he going to go?
Seattle, man. Who else can give him what he deserves? Who else can give him what he should be making?
Well, here's my thing. Where would he want to go?
He wants to stay in Carolina.
Because I don't think Boston was overly fun for him.
No, he was the only young guy on a veteran team.
And the veterans, you know,
to begin with. Yeah,
veterans had fun at his expense and gave him a hard time. That was a hard spot for him. He came here and he didn't fit in here for whatever reason, right?
Yeah,
rightly or wrongly.
I think he got along fine with the coach and the players. For whatever reason, he and the GM did not see eye to eye.
Really?
That's what I was told. I mean, you go ask around. I don't know.
I hadn't heard that. Wow. Do we have that breaking news splitter again?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's it. I think if you're Dougie, you want to stay in Carolina, but if the owner's going to ask you to play for $6 million, you can't do it. He's like, if Petrangelo, who's 3 years older, gets 8.8 max term, you can't sign for like way less than that in Carolina if you're concerned about your career earnings.
I'm with you. I feel like that. I don't know what that owner. I don't understand.
We're getting a larger and larger body of work, and I think it'll make more sense as time passes. But he loves getting deals, and he got one on Roddy Brindamore, no doubt. A guy that probably was getting offered 4 to 5, somewhere in that range, by teams like the Rangers, like $5 million, come work on Broadway. No, I'm going to stay for 1.8 in Raleigh. Like, that's a deal. Tom Dundon loves the deal. He's happy right now. He ain't going to get that kind of deal with Dougie. A third of your market value.
Yeah. So where do you want to go, Doug? What do you want to do? If he's going to be a cheapskate. Sorry, I hate watch my mouth. If he's going to be a cheapskate, then where do you want to be, Doug? Do you want to be in a big market? Do you want to be in a small market? Do you want to fly under the radar?
It's all about fit, man. I think he's seen it all. He's seen Canadian hockey market. He's seen the championship caliber team where he didn't get along with other guys on the team. It's fit, man. And then the team that he fit in was the one that Ron Francis built.
Aho making 8.4, and only because they had to match.
And that honestly is a favor that he could have. Yeah.
Which is weird from a general manager of the year finalist that he would go and do something like that. Bergie.
Well, I mean, it's you got a foot on each side of the fence. He's going to be fired when they lose their next game, and now finalist for GM.
That's right.
So there's a lot to really digest there.
Are the Flames going to do anything free agent wise?
I think how the expansion draft unfolds will play a big part in that. If you get Gio's money off the books, for example, then absolutely you have the ability to do that, but you'll also need to replace a top four defenseman. So I'd say yes. If Mark Giordano was a Flame after the expansion draft, then I don't know that there's a lot of room. I mean, they got to find a backup goalie, but that's not going to be a sexy splash. That's going to be a who's going to come play for $1.5 million. No?
No, I agree. I'm just thinking. Because I still
but
find
it's key.
It
key if you get $7 million space.
Yeah,
now you can go find a right shot winger or whatever else you want to make your priority, right?
And we can talk about it out. You know, let's do that. We'll take a quick break. We have tried to contact our winner. There is no contact to be made as of yet for our grand prize. So we'll continue to try that. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. at the bottom of the clock. Euro continues a quadrilateral of games today.
Quadrilateral.
Quadricep? Starting at probably already underway is my guess.
10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
All right.
It's in the trendings.
There it is. I don't listen to the trendings.
You don't listen to much.
Having a tinkle. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Flames in that vein road when we come back. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Get them away.
Boomer in the Morning continues. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Sports Drive at 5 is brought to you by South Trail Hyundai. Fall in love with low payments from 0% plus. No payments for 3 months. Check out South Trail Hyundai. Boomer, Pinder, Riley. We are here in the iconic downtown studios making lives and so much easier and better and that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying, right? Burner Management, Telecommunications, Diversity. It's iconic. Visit iconicec.ca to find out more. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. coming up at the bottom of the hour. Did you see the there's a story out there this morning, or as of yesterday, that there's going to be some NLL expansion?
Yeah, we've been talking about this in McBride quite regularly. They know what they're doing. They're going to good places. San Diego's got a team.
Mm-hmm. Did you see who is going to be the owner?
City? I saw that, yeah. Some good Canadian boys and a South Carolina boy.
Wayne Gretzky. His son-in-law, or his son, son-in-law? What do you call it?
Not his son.
Dustin Johnson. Steve
Get
Nash.
Get on vacation. Get out of here.
I can't even.
His son?
I don't even know. What.
His son.
Just get me off the
Is
air.
It Dustin Gretzky?
Do you call it son-in-law?
Did he grow up in the locker room, hanging out with Mess? Come on. Oh. His son.
Anyway, Wayne's going to own a NLL team.
Steve Nash in the mix.
They'll start Steve Nash. That's right. Longtime Columbus Blue Jacket star.
Wayne Gretzky.
Along with...
Wait, he's Rick Nash's dad.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Did you know that Gretzky played lacrosse growing up as a kid?
Well, he was a star in the NHL in the 90s, and he's from Ontario, so I had strong suspicions, yeah.
Yeah. The Las Vegas team will play at the MGM Resorts Michelob Ultra Arena, which
the
is inside
Ultra Arena.
The Steinberg Mandalay Bay.
Is waiting in a queue right now for season tickets.
Is that his beverage of choice?
Yeah, you know, when you're on the treadmill and you want a beer.
Carbs, man. You got to watch those carbs.
Do you?
Yeah, you man. That's what I'm told.
Okay.
Now, here's what I guess a couple things that we can talk about. We're going to talk about the Flames here. I believe that Mark Giordano will be exposed in the expansion draft. I believe that. I have a harder time imagining Seattle selecting him. You've talked about this for quite a while.
Yeah.
Just, you know, if you just kind of throw it into the conversation, if Giordano's money comes off, you know, if they take Giordano, I just really don't see that happening.
So what is the better player for Seattle to take? That's the decision they have to make, right? They have to take somebody, or they take a run at a free agent in a little window ahead of time. Like, if it's not Giordano, what's the better move for Seattle?
Someone who's not making 6.75 and is going to be turning 38, I guess, is my only... I know they have all... It's for 1 year, and the cap maybe doesn't matter. I don't know... Is it for leadership? Is it only to trade him again at the deadline? He's still going to have the no move that you're going to have to deal with. I just don't know that I don't know that I see it happening.
Is he a top four defenseman in today's NHL?
Is that what they want, though?
I mean, I think they'd want a top four defenseman. They probably want four of them. Now, what other options do they have out there amongst defensemen? That I don't know. You know, we haven't scoured the other 29 teams involved in the expansion draft. Vegas is not taking part of this, also doesn't get the expansion fee or their share of it. But the notion that I always thought was a decent one is he's a veteran that knows what's going on around the league. He's a guy that gives you everything he's got. You don't have to worry about his conditioning or something like that. And if he's a 3-4 and you can flip him at the deadline, eat half the money and send him to a contender, you're probably going to get a tidy asset back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't see them being able to do, like, is Oliver Shillington worth more than that?
Well, that's...
Is Matthew Phillips worth more than that? Like, the only other thing that I think is a really, makes sense, and it also fits kind of the pattern of what Vegas did, is if they use that window rather than to select a player, but to negotiate a deal with with Derek Ryan, who is from the Pacific Northwest and has built a brand new home
right
in the Pacific Northwest, and I think would have a lot of interest in playing in the Pacific Northwest, and is a responsible, you know, bottom six centerman that you could get on a theoretical hometown discount, just like Derek Englund to Vegas.
Right.
Which is the, so the, beyond those two, I don't really see another move for Vegas to make if the Flames are going to expose who we think they're going to expose.
Yeah, the Derek Ryan one does make sense in what you just laid out. The Shillington one, I wonder a little bit. He's 13 years younger than Gio, and if you're wow. looking at yeah. someone who's maybe got some untapped potential, he would be the other guy. I don't
or
know.
Just wait for him to clear, be on waivers again.
Yeah, I know. but you see that sometimes with because again, why did Vegas take Englund? They could have just signed him. He was an unrestricted free agent. They could have just
yeah.
signed him as a right, but they chose to go that route. So maybe they. Seeing Giordano now, I know my answer and my feel about it. Do you try to keep Seattle? If Seattle and you're obviously they've had conversations. The Flames are going to have a pretty good idea who they're taking well in advance.
If communicating with Francis, you'd hope to figure out what they're trying
right?
to do.
And right? who isn't? I find it hard to believe that general managers of teams are like fans waiting for the email to come out to see who's been selected. Like all of these teams are having conversations with Ron Francis.
For and sure. while he'll be it's just if you're Ron, you might not show your hand.
No, he'll be devious about it.
About yeah. yeah, like, oh, you're really worried about us taking Gio. Hey, okay, well, what do you want to give us to not do that? They might not even want Gio. You don't know.
So that's my question. There's no way that the Flames offer assets to keep Seattle away from Gio, is there?
I think the coach would probably be okay with that. If the GM does it, I think that's probably something that wouldn't make a lot of sense. That's the great, I think, push and pull of this offseason right now is that if you're a GM, you operate very differently than a coach who's got 2 years left. And that's not to say the GM necessarily has more years than that or whatever, but just that Daryl is absolutely in win-now mode, and I think this is a situation where Daryl would prefer to have Mark Giordano in that locker room next year. But if you're a GM, you can't be giving up like a first or 2 seconds to avoid Seattle from doing that. That's mm-hmm. just – there's too much value there for 1 year of a 38-year-old guy, albeit a captain. And then add another layer is it's the only jersey he's ever worn in the league. And the longer guys hang around, the more entwined they get in the community, the more difficult these decisions become. I mean, I really don't know what they're going to do.
If you felt like you had a better handle on what this team was, because you've got a lot of things in the mix, right? You've got Tkachuk for one more year before that RFA thing becomes an issue. You've got one yep. more year of Johnny. You've yep. got one more year of Gio.
Two more years of Monahan.
If yep. you felt better about how the season went and ended, maybe it's all a little bit easier for you. Maybe Treliving and maybe the Flames staff, Conroy and all, maybe they do have a good feel. They're more confident than we are as to what this team is or it isn't, then it becomes a lot easier to just cut bait or to stay the course and say, we'll be better this year.
And the other part that I think makes it tricky as well is I don't know that this team's much worse than the Montreal team. They met in high leverage games down the stretch, and Calgary was the better team in the bulk of them.
And people will laugh at you for saying that, but I tend to agree.
You watch those games, and so I'm not saying they're a better team than Montreal, but there could be people in the Flames organization watching this postseason being like, if Montreal can do it, why can't we?
Could
and
Gio
it might be crazy,
yeah.
but people could you could translate that a little.
Could Gio
like
and Tanev
they're more like Montreal than they are like Toronto or Edmonton, right?
Could Gio and Tanev be giving you what Sherratt and Petrie are giving Montreal? Like, is that wild to assume? I don't
and
think
so,
it is.
No, and so if the organization believes that last year was just a worst case scenarioville, and that they are better built for the playoffs than the regular season, which is absolutely what Montreal are and absolutely what the Islanders are. If that type of hockey you can play it, and I'm not convinced that they necessarily can, but maybe they are. Then what would a price you'd be willing to pay be to keep your top four intact?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so
maybe it's easy for us just as observers or fans or whatever, just to be able to play fantasy hockey. It's probably a lot. It's a different story when it's real life and you're the team and you have Giordano to just say, I'll just release, just cut him, whatever. Let's see how it'll happen. We're not going to just let him go. It's easy for us to have that discussion. And if it happens,
yeah,
it's a bit of a different tale when you're running that team.
Yeah. And you're trying to win. If you're maybe at the point of your tenure where you need results to keep your job.
Yeah, it's time for sure. There's pressure for sure.
The coach has got 2 years. Does he want to start year two with 3 top 4 defensemen? I doubt it.
I had some people texting. And again, I know how I feel about it. But Elliot had the report regarding Oliver Ekman-Larsson that he is, we've already heard it once that Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be traded from the Arizona Coyotes. And last year when we heard about this, they give a list of teams that are going to be out there that you would go to. Well, how about Boston and how about Vancouver? And neither one of those transpired, although it's believed that maybe that ended up hooping your buddy Benning there in Vancouver a little bit because he thought maybe they were going to get there. Anyway.
Fully anyway, yeah.
So it's back out there, and the thought is this time around, hey, Oliver, if that is your real name, how about you give us let's go and see what we can do as far as a trade league wide and keep you somewhat in the loop before we go to, we won't go too far down, but if there's something that maybe makes sense, then we can talk. Cause he's got the full no move. He makes $8.25 million for 6 more years.
Aww.
Six more at eight and a quarter.
Nowhere near prime OEL.
What kind of? I don't know
what else do I get for taking him.
Well, that's the thing. How much
I'm
money?
I'm not giving an asset to take that thing on.
How much money would they have to eat in order to make that an even a somewhat appetizing cap hit? You can't
probably
do anything about the
million?
Term.
The term's nuts. Yeah.
And if they're eating three plus million, then the price is going to go up, right? You're probably paying a fair bit to get him. So I don't see that. And I it's too easy sometimes to make the connection. Well, he played in Arizona when Brad was there, so there's a connection. Not every player is warm and fuzzy with general managers and AGMs that they played for in their career. Quite the opposite sometimes.
The concern isn't it weird? It was like, okay, it's going to be Boston or Vancouver, and then the language around it, if I can recall correctly, was, well, it's going to get done now, or he's just staying in the desert forever. This is it. It's now or never, and they really tried to get the prices up. I don't think there was as much in return as they wanted to get, and yet a year later, he's back in the market when we were told that, if it's not now, well, he's just happy to be, we're going to have him in the desert for the rest of his career, and they're still trying to move him. If he's a good player, why are the Coyotes so eager to get rid of him?
Well,
he was a really good player.
8.25 million reasons why. You've had Jacob Chychrun evolve.
Yeah.
And he's basically moved past them. So now you've got
question.
You've got Oliver Ekman-Larsson as your 3-4 pairing defenseman at 8.25. So that would be why. And is the league still running them? Who's paying the bills there? Do we know who's paying these contracts? Am I guessing he or she?
Well, it's the, Alex Morello and company.
Right.
You forgot your per diem in the bubble, guys.
Right. That's right. So I don't know. Anything that happens with Arizona, you have to. But man, they have Darcy Kemper for one more year. I'm just looking here at $4.5 million.
Don't they both expire at the same time?
Rant is this year. Rant is available now.
Rant is up now.
He's a UFA. Well, they have Aiden Hill, the Calgary kid, an RFA. But Demers, Goligoski.
It's the strength of that team has been their blue line.
All UFA. They have three guys under contract. One of them is Ilya Lubushkin. That's right. But as far as the Flames, because I asked you about free agency, what does this team do? Because what are the dates here? We're a month away.
Something like that.
A month today. July 21 is the expansion draft. The 23rd. And 24th is the weekend. That's day one, obviously, round one. And then July 28th, the UFA period opens. So we're
July 28th to July 21.
We're 5 weeks out from all of this kind of coming down?
It's just really hard to have a game plan until teams know what Seattle's done.
Yeah.
Like if, what, you know, hey, Florida, you had a great year, man. If you didn't run into Tampa, geez, too bad about that playoff format. So what are you guys going to do this offseason? Well, who are they taking from us? It's like, it's tough to make plans until you know what Ron Francis is doing.
You think they're taking Gio?
I'm not convinced. I don't think it's crazy, though. People that say they'd never do it, I'm like, no. Top four defensemen have value, and it's a deal that comes off the books. It's an asset you could trade a year in.
And I
like
guess
if they only hold him for 3 months, eat half the salary, and get a second-round pick, isn't that a nice 6 months of work to get an extra second-rounder?
And I guess we're already one step too far. We have to assume that the Flames would leave him unprotected. Well, are they really going to make another move, a separate move?
No, and
to open up a spot to keep Giordano protected?
So, like, let's flush that out a bit. What type of a team is going to add, like, a Geo, for example, ahead of the expansion draft?
Well, I mean anybody else that you would ordinarily protect. Like, are you...
So a top, you're going to move one of those other top four defensemen. So Chris Tanev.
No, I'm not saying that.
People are saying this. Let's follow through on it. So if you're going to protect Gio, you need to expose another top four defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do that with Tanev because he's probably, you know, what they would believe is a culture setter, their best defenseman this year. He's brand new. They just paid him. Rasmus is coming off a tough year, but that could be a really team-friendly contract and has got a lot of term left, and he's heading into his prime. And Noah Hanifin had probably his best season in a while and was spoken of highly by the head coach a bunch. I just don't – how could you expose one of those guys to keep a pending free agent who's 38? And the only other way you can move the shells around is to cover 8 players instead of 10. And so now you would have to have 2 forwards that are protected now that are becoming unprotected. And I don't see them wanting to lose a Mangiapane or...
Unless you had some sort of a deal cooked up where it's a Monahan, Dubé, some sort of a deal, right?
Just trade them somewhere else?
Yeah, if they have another deal, which makes, like you say, it's instead of 10, if they go 8.
Hmm. And then the question is, like, what, where are those 2 players going, and what team just has 2 empty forward slots that, oh, we'll help protect those
guys?
No,
that's fair.
Because that was the thing, you know, Francis came on last week and said, oh, they got to trade Gio ahead of this expansion draft. And it's like, well, a team adding Gio is a team that's ready to win, not a rebuilding team. How many teams that see themselves as contenders aren't already protecting 3 defensemen and have the cap space? 0. Not happening.
I'd love to debate you. I don't think I can. I don't think I can do it.
And there are some interesting spots. Like, there's some teams with UFAs. So let's say the Oilers have something in place with Larson, for example. But why would you put pen to paper and make it official before the expansion draft? Because then you have to protect them, right? Like, there's that little wrinkle as well that teams will be dealing with.
And what's the deadline? Because they get about a week. Is that what it is? 10 days prior to the actual draft that the lists are due?
Not sure.
Because the expansion draft is the 21st. I can find
this would be the equivalent of at the NFL draft when the Jacksonville Jaguars, who know they've been picking one for like 6 months, and now you're on the clock. 5 minutes.
Right.
No, just pick. You guys know what you're doing.
What an offseason this is going to be. They didn't get the pick that they wanted or that you wanted. We don't know anything. Well, shouldn't say anything. There's never been a year like this where there's unknowns in terms of the draft and the players you're selecting. Fewer viewings
than ever. Yeah.
Flat cap expansion team. Cause that was the thing with Vegas. You at least you had the cap to kind of utilize. No, it's, there's teams that are capped out. We don't know.
Tampa's almost $20 million over.
Like, and we don't know what the Flames are.
And to the final point, it's like, okay, how much can you write off to the pandemic and just the nightmare that you know, was, no, not, that it didn't, it was only hockey players, but relative to a normal professional athlete's life, this was a tough year for the things you can and can't do. And then on top of that, mix in, they're going back to a division where they might be a playoff team just because of how bad the rest of the division is. Three teams in California, an expansion team, Vancouver, Edmonton, Vegas.
And like, the argument will
which four teams are absolutely better than you? And I understand you get to qualify not like just through divisions. Like there's a, you can get in five from one division, three from the other, but it's not hard to squint and see the Flames being in the playoffs next year in that division. It is in other places in the league, not in a division that's got three California teams, an expansion team at Vancouver.
And I think if we're learning anything, just getting in is an okay goal to have, because Montreal is showing you what just making it can do. And the Islanders were a number one, they were first in their division for a stretch, but they were fourth in their division. Boston, Washington, Pittsburgh all had more points than they did.
And
Islanders
sure
are still alive.
In that division. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, they just wouldn't have. The Islanders were first place in the NHL overall, like with a month to go or something like that. Montreal's point total does not cut the mustard in any other division, and I'm not necessarily sure that they win more games in a division that, say, had Carolina, Tampa, Florida, or Dallas, for example, Nashville. Like, it's really, really weird because they weren't a good team in the regular season. They were for, like, a stretch in January. And for whatever reason, the club that they've constructed looks a whole lot better in the postseason.
826. Our boy Tommy Wheeldon Jr., he's a busy guy. We'll talk to him about why that is. And some Euro 2020, a quadraphonic blahpunk of games coming up today in footy. So that's next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Tommy Wheeldon going to join us in a little bit. Just awaiting a phone call from him. Yeah.
Is there a laptop in there? I need your shoes off, sir.
Getting on a plane, heading to Winnipeg, right? That's where we
off
all want
to Winnipeg. They'll open the CPL season in a bubble. It's a good sign. It's not quite, we're back at Spruce Meadows hammering tall boys, but it means we're getting closer.
Is that not, that's what it, okay. Soon enough,
that's how we measure things.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, they will open against York on the 27th. All this in Winnipeg, and I think Tommy had hinted last week there may be news this week about the world healing, Dean.
Is that right?
Which would mean tall boys at Spruce Meadows, I'm guessing.
Now that, we were talking this weekend. That's right away. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. joins us. Tommy, have you been sufficiently frisked at the airport?
Yeah, I was. I tell you what, and it was the best 5 minutes of my life.
It is great.
How about that, eh? Thorough, yeah.
We could all use, yeah, we could all use a little bit of intimacy right about now. Yeah, just to the left and turn and cough, and you're good to go. I didn't, you know, here's the thing. It's funny how fast time flies. I guess I look at the calendar. It's, yeah, it's the 21st. We're into the third week of June already. I knew that the kickoff, as they're calling it, with the Canadian Premier League was coming. It's this weekend. I don't know if you knew that, but you've got a game on Sunday, Tommy.
Jeez.
I know, it was crazy because I was having my Father's Day brunch and talking to the family and like, well, when's the next game? It's a week today. So it's crazy, really, because there's so much time between it and now we're a week away. So it's, it feels good. It's going through airports again. It's not been, I haven't been through one for, almost 18 months. So yeah, it's here it is.
Yeah, so it's in all 32 matches will be played in Winnipeg, all of them at IG Field, included yourself, every team playing eight times. What can you tell us about what are you expecting? You're going to hit the ground in Winnipeg, and then what happens for you and Cavalry?
So we hit the ground in Winnipeg. We have to go through our COVID test. We got tested just before we got on our flight. Everyone with a negative test gets on. Great, we're all clear. So once we get there, we get another test. I think we have a day in quarantine in our rooms, which okay, it's a lot of catch-up stuff to do anyway in preparation. And then we hit the training ground by Wednesday through to Saturday, and then game Sunday. So it's everything's scheduled, and it's just now fine-tuning. The issue we've got on most other teams is nobody's physically game fit because we haven't officially played any games yet. So this is a great way to kick off the season and almost have, you know, like one of those preseason tournament events, but this one has points on the board. So it's that happy medium between how we approach it with, you know, do we run the guys through the riot at best 11 on every game, or do you manage the minutes and make sure everyone comes through with a view to banking as many points as possible to bring back home?
Now, I was going to say, going into any season, I guess you don't know a lot about what you're going to face, about your competition, but it feels like this might be, like, you've got York United next Sunday. Do you have any idea what kind of a squad you're going to be up against?
No, not really. I mean, we have a bit of an advantage because in Alberta, we were given the consent to start training early, so we'll use that to the best of our ability. What the way this kickoff is working is we will play 8 games, but we literally play the 4 East teams twice, so it almost burns a long home and away leg. So now when we return home, the view, I believe, is to start playing some of the Western teams in a closer quarter. But what this does is, you know, York have revamped. They've gone very young. They've gone very dynamic. A couple of our ex-players, and Nico Giantsopoulos, the keeper, and Dominic Zator, are part of their group now. So they should make them stronger. But as much as they know about us, we know about them. So it's going to be very, very good for us. But no, we don't know. We've got no eyes or ears. So the first game, you're almost playing blind. And then after that, you just have to you'll have then data and performances to play off of in your scouting analysis.
It's been a couple of years that we've been mentioning a certain player's name that will finally, I believe, make his debut this weekend. But Tommy, I will lead the witness, but let you answer. Is there a player that Cavs fans or the foot soldiers should be salivating over a chance to potentially see on the pitch this summer on your squad?
There's quite a few, actually. Not to pump our tires too much, but I'd think that this team is probably more dynamic. We're younger anyway. I think our average age is now about 24, which is a great age for the way we want to play. We always like that high tempo, all action game. We love attacking football. We love a high pressing game. So I think the players we brought in do that, whether it's, you know, Dan Klomp and Tom Field at the back, or, you know, whether that's Joe DKR, Anthony Novak that was from within the league, or whether that's, you know, Richard Luca or Joe Mason in the attacking lineup, or, I mean, Cavs fans are going to be excited to see Jose Escalante back in the lineup, as well as Oliver Minutel returning from that significant injury last year. So I think we've got really good pieces this year, but now, as we know with any team, you know, it's not played on paper. It's on the green grass or the turf, and it's now about how we develop that chemistry through really unusual times.
All right, Tommy, that's the CPL. We'll keep tabs on you, obviously, over the next month, but let's get to it, Riley.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance your Infinity from 0% or get up to 14 grand in savings. Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
All right, let's get to it. Yesterday, we saw the Italians move to 3-0 with the win over Wales. What do you make of the Italians now through three?
They didn't break sweat in their Armani suits, did they? They were just they're in cruise control right now, and I think they're buying into what Coach Mancini's done. And there was a really nice nuance that I'm not sure was picked up, but you know, later on in the game, they're 1-0 up, so they've obviously got qualification anyway. Wales had gone down to 10 men, which did help the Italians, but having said that, they were just in cruise control. He'd already rotated the side anyway for a little bit of freshness going into the knockout rounds, but he substituted his goalie, Donnarumma, and brought in the second goalie. And the reason he did that was, as a player himself, Mancini was part of the Italian 90 team, hosted in Italy, never played a single minute. And he said, as a player, that was probably his biggest regret, that he never saw the pitch for his national team in a major competition. So as part of a buy-in for the squad, he said, no matter the situation, I want everybody to feel part of this. And I thought it was a great move, because you can just see they've now kept, 11 consecutive shutouts. They're 30 games unbeaten. If this is a team that's in form, I mean, that's one now you've got to start pegging them as there or thereabouts as one of the favorites to win this.
Yeah, I was reading, and Mancini says, I have 26 starters, so don't worry about who I'm starting. 26 guys, they're all starters. That's a luxury, right?
Yeah, good. It is. And I actually had a similar chat with our guys because everyone beams up because we've had so many times, you know, where everyone's leading into the first game. It's not about the first game. We've got 28 of them. You know, so you do. Everybody's got the right to start. That's why they've been signed.
Okay, so this format's a new one. We have 24 teams instead of 16, and now the we get to the elimination round, and they got to come up with a way to get to 16 out of 24. There's going to be four of six third-place teams that get through. The waiting game begins. Switzerland is on watch for the waiting game, and a big game today will determine who else will be waiting versus who else punches their ticket. Is this lacking drama, or will there be drama with the wait? Russia, Finland, and Denmark can all either get to second or will be playing the waiting game. At least that'll be interesting today, I guess.
Yeah, it will. I mean, you look, the Swiss are on 4 points. You'd like to think that that is enough to get people into the, you know, the best third place. I tell you, but wouldn't it be nice if Denmark pulled something off against Russia just because of the, you know, the whole Christian Eriksen and his revival, and I think what they've been through would give the nation hope as well. So you'd be rooting for them. That is a tight group because, you know, Belgium are playing against Finland. Finland would have a hell of a result, but they've got it in them. But yeah, it's interesting because also over in the Netherlands-Ukraine group, you know, you've got North Macedonia that, you know, they want to be able to bank some type of points. And maybe that's Pandev's swan song because perhaps as a 37-year-old, this may be his last major tournament, but you never know. Yeah, so the Ukraine-Austria game will be very, very good because I've been, you know, quietly impressed with how Ukraine have gone about their business. And I think they could end up being another dark horse coming out of that group.
What have you seen from the Dutch so far? They're already through. And what do you do today if you're already through?
Well, the good thing about this is, like Mancini said about Italy, you know, if everyone's a starter, then start putting some of the other ones in and give them some significant rest because this is a year, really, with the COVID. There's been over 200% injuries in all sports. So if there's an opportunity to rest and rotate, then take it. You're starting to blood some players in. I mean, for me, Denzel Dumfries has been a standout for that team. Is it a chance to rest and rotate him? And Depay, who has been very, very good for them. Or do you keep going and just let them play through form? That's going to be an interesting choice.
All right. Well, enjoy your flight. Hey, are you going to be able to stream some games on the TV, or what are you doing here? How do you watching well, football?
No, I've just, given the WestJet's our sponsor, I've just slipped into the WestJet lounge, so I'm going to have a little bit of breakfast, then jump on that flight to Winnipeg.
Look at you. All right.
Little liquor.
Fancy.
I'm not sure I can pass the lips of that. I'm a professional coach.
That's Jim. Of course you are. Yeah, of course you are.
It's tea.
Yeah,
yes,
tea time. Hey, Tommy, thank you, pal. Good to talk to you. Be good.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
The Sportsnet 960 UEFA 2020 Euro Report is brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. The stunning 2022 QX55 is here. Lease for $299 semi-monthly with $4,995 down on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
8:45, we'll take our break here, come back with what you want to talk about, and set up the 9 and Eric Francis Monday, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Tonight it's game 5 between the Islanders and the Lightning. Six bells. Tomorrow on the program, we will have Stephen Brunt, we think. Now, he was fishing. He's on a little getaway.
That was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Well, he's going again. That was because we didn't have him 2 weeks ago, but he couldn't, nice. You know, I had to kind of keep it low down. But now he can talk about it. So he's going fishing, but he thinks he should be available by cell phone. So we'll hopefully have him tomorrow. Adnan Virk will join us, our MLB insider. See if he, is he as positive and loving life as much as the Blue Jays are these days? They're just having fun. They're not negative. They're not down. Things are fine. Everything's good. Yeah, so we'll talk to Adnan about that. And in the 9 today, Ryan.
Eric Francis
big
coming right up
with Eric Francis.
We got Adam Stanley. He joined us earlier this morning. We'll revisit that following a major Sunday that saw a first time winner of a major, at least, and a Canadian leader after 54 holes that was not the leader after 72.
No, he was not. Well, you hammer down 12 Stella Artois at the course, and things are going to happen. Can only imagine. I can only assume that was his 12-pack.
My Saturday.
I know. Interesting. I was going to say, I didn't know you were at Torrey Pines.
Would love to. I
thought, thought you'd have brought it up.
I'm working on something very sinister that you're going to hate.
Hmm. Hate or respect or both?
I don't know. I feel like you usually enjoy sinister. Being upset by things more than you respect other people.
No, it's there's some respect.
Do you recall a little journey I made last summer with a particular human in a particular vehicle?
Yeah. Where are you going with Glasser?
Well, we're working on some ironing out details.
Is that right?
Yeah, I might need to take a Wednesday morning off in a couple of weeks here. We'll see.
Is that right? A Wednesday morning. So it's a Tuesday.
We'd love to get you with us. It's just you got to tell us what your number is because they got to measure out how much fuel we need for how much everyone weighs.
Is that how it goes?
So, yeah.
I had no idea. Well, how long is the flight?
Depends how much you weigh.
Because I can get you a number.
I was told John Bender's not allowed to be invited. So.
Oh, see, now why would you do that?
Well, he's a large human. We can't be putting an old lineman in
Riley,
a plane.
Press the button. Just, you know, poor Bender. Just takes
I'm not taking shots at him. He's a large
it
human.
It feels like
very muscular.
Yeah, press the button. Jeez.
Talking about. Talking about. Talking about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Jeep season is here with discounts up to 15 grand and 0% financing. Visit VarsityChrysler.com.
I saw Mace on the weekend. He's not invited either. And he's in great shape. It's nothing to do with anything else. Sorry, guys.
Tell Glasser to get a better plane. Is that his plane or does he rent it? Or what's?
There's lots of different planes. It just depends how many people. How deep's the roster? What are we doing here?
I mean, I'd love to be in. Sounds like fun.
I don't know that we need your karma up in the air. That scares me a little.
My karma. I see. 960, 960. Guys, will there be frost damage on the canola this morning? I think you're going to be okay. I think you'll be all right.
Frost? Where are we talking? Didn't get that chilly last night, did it?
It was pretty warm late. I don't know.
Yeah,
that,
what are you talking about?
How far did we dip? Last night, I thought we were all right.
We had the solstice cooking. We had the sun rolling late. What do you mean, frost?
Yeah.
Where's that text from?
That's a 403.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a 403, buddy. Sorry, boys, but our defense is not close to Montreal's defense. Petrie was Brody, even better, snapping it tape to tape. I'm not going man for man. What I'm saying is the performances that you're seeing.
Montreal did not overwhelm Calgary in their season series in the regular season, which is certainly not everything. But when those two teams played in the regular season, there was not a thought that, wow, Montreal's a way better team. There was not that at all.
It's playoffs, and you have to give them credit. You
totally.
Do.
Totally. Yes.
You may not like it, and it may not be scintillating, but any team that's out there doing what they have to do to win, if they have a game plan and it's successful, then power to them.
You're still playing, you get kudos.
Yeah.
I'm not here to suggest the Flames will still be playing. It's just, again, we have to remind ourselves every spring, this thing is a bit of a crapshoot. Sorry, it just is.
Hey, Pinder, how's your gout?
Haven't noticed it much, to be honest. Must be all the vitamin D, or I don't know what else it could be.
Really? It can't be because you're not drinking enough, because I know that isn't it.
Yeah, I was rocking some Aperol spritzes yesterday on the front lawn. Oh. There.
Is there a liquor that you don't drink? Like, is there something that's like, ooh, no. If you're offered a drink and you're like, oh, you know, no, I'm
good. I
don't
drink scotch, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And that's more like the late night sipping one. If it was all we had and I was at someone's house and they're like, hey, you got to try this? I'm like, okay. But I've never reached for scotch. Maybe I'm just not old yet. I don't know.
Maybe. Are we in a dead puck era? I think we're overreacting. I think there's few teams
it's playoffs
left.
And it's low scoring. And
yeah,
that's what we.
The fact that it's got tightened up in the playoffs and round three shouldn't surprise us. I think it was not that long ago we were marveling at the offense that we saw out of Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid and the like, I still think that there's plenty of skill and excitement in the league. It's just not, you're not going to see it right now. Hey, Riley, still taking Habs in four.
Nerd.
Oh, that's a,
ooh.
Come on now. That's a valued listener right there.
Wow.
You want to take that back?
No.
All right.
And that, I'm just excited for that listener looking to go 12 for 12 on picks here. That's exciting.
That's right. Oh.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I got to roll with my boys. Obviously, I'm going to take the Habs in four.
How didn't work out. Habs fan predict the Habs to win the series. The nerve, the gall.
Didn't work out. Boys are still going seven. Need one more loss to make that happen.
So which one is it going to be? Is it going to be in Vegas tomorrow? And then they got to win back-to-back? You don't like the sounds of that, do you?
I don't like the sounds of that.
Or do you want to have, or do you want to have a chance to clinch at home and then go to the cup final and then you lose having to go back to Vegas? You don't like the sound of that either, do you?
No, let's just make it six. You know what?
Oh, so all right. Just win
just
tomorrow.
Win.
And
okay. I guess.
Change this pick again. Just I waffling. Guess.
There it is.
I would rather be wrong.
It's 9 o'clock. Francis is standing by, so we're going to call it a day. Thanks to everybody for listening to this wonderful program today.
Boy, it was good today.
An award winner, no
I'm
doubt about it.
Excited to see what shape the bronze trophy is in that we win for today's show.
Yeah. No MVP today.
Stunner.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan. See ya.